about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So, you guys, what is the 411? What has everybody been up to? What is the hot gossip? Tell me everything. What are you guys listening to? What's the cool jams?
Mom?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You want to do something fun? You want to go to Taco Bell?
I can't go to Taco Bell. I'm on an all-carb diet. God, Karen, you are so stupid.
Ma'am, do you have this in the next size up?
Sorry. We only carry sizes 1, 3, and 5. You could try Sears.
So if you're from Africa, why are you white? Oh, my God, Karen, you can't just ask people why they're white.
That is so fetch.
Gretchen, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
And now.
I had survived my first three-way calling attack. And with Regina's blessing, I started talking to Aaron more and more. On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was.
It's October 3rd.
Our feature presentation.
Bean has been excited about that for a month, if I know him right.
I do enjoy Mean Girls Day, and I will say this, that if I had the opportunity to see the adaptation of Mean Girls to the Broadway stage and I were in New York, I would go see that as well.
Well, thanks for letting us know.
Okay. Yeah.
They turned it into a musical.
All right. I'm down with that.
Okay.
I'm going to add that to your bio.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 3rd of Rocktober.
Feels good. Now, look, I get accused of being an alarmist from time to time because from time to time, you guys sometimes say that I automatically jump to the worst possible scenario.
Well, I mean, for the most part, that's because you automatically jump right to the worst case scenario. It's
you guys,
actually true.
You guys sometimes accuse me of, ginning up the facts a little bit to make things seem more dire than they are. And I'm not trying to get all Greta on you here, but I feel like Dave, our producer, is probably dead. And it pains me to say that. I mean, I'm really sad because I consider Dave one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. And
known him a long time.
Long time. 20 years.
Now, why is he dead?
And he was so young and he seemed healthy. And mm-hmm. he's, you know, got a lovely, young lady he's been dating that he planned on marrying and having a family with and just cut down in the prime of his life. And it's just, it's a sad way to
what
start
happened
the show
to him.
I mean, we don't know the specifics, but it's 5:38 and he's not here yet. So there are
he's late.
There are very few other possibilities.
I know he's always posting from like workout places. Do you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So
yeah.
You would think he's fit, but maybe he had a heart attack while working out.
Oh, that could be.
But if he was healthy before he went to the workout place, how could he have a heart attack?
That's a good point, Bean.
I mean,
it never happens.
Because I don't understand how that could happen. There would be some warning.
But yeah. we should think this through because there are other options. Like maybe he slept through his alarm.
What? You think he's sleeping?
Very possible.
But what's more likely, that he overslept for work in the middle of the goddamn night or that he passed away peacefully in his sleep?
I'm going to let everyone else answer that.
Yeah, you tell me. That's what I'm questioning.
I just feel like R.I.P. Dave. I think we should have – I mean, we didn't know until he didn't show up for work today, but I feel like we should put some sort of tribute or something together.
Well, this isn't –
Are we calling the widow?
We should call
– calling the widow.
Krista, I'm so sorry for your loss. And how's Rhonda taking it?
He had a good run.
He did.
Yeah.
He didn't. He was like 40 or whatever. I don't know how old
that's
he was.
A hard 40.
Hey, what's up? Dave, you reached my cell.
No.
No,
he's dead.
Bean's
right. He's dead.
Yeah, you know, right before you die, you go, oh, I should put my phone to voicemail.
Yep.
No, what happened is that Krista wants to save his outgoing voicemail message forever so that she has one last chance to hear his voice whenever she misses him the most. You know what I mean?
Or sure. She heard the phone ringing and she's just like, oh, he's dead. Let me just put this to voicemail. I don't have to keep hearing it.
Fell while working out, cracked his phone, and now it's a broken phone.
Oh.
It's just like in pieces. He fell so hard.
So physically he can't answer it. It's just going to the cloud.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Well, also because he's dead physically.
Yeah. Like, he is physically dead.
He's physically dead.
All right, so does Christine automatically become new producer, or do we have to advertise
like
the job?
It's like the Pope. We got to do the smoke signal, the meeting, and we all got to do, you know, votes and all sorts of stuff.
I'm not positive the producer of our show is like the Pope. Hope pretty much is in his own little thing.
What's your favorite Dave memory?
Favorite
I have one, if you want me to get started.
Sure.
Dave came to visit me. Dave has always come to visit me at my various places that I've lived. God bless him. And he came up to visit me with his girlfriend Krista one time in Seattle, at the Seattle house, and threatened the entire weekend that they were going to have sex in my house. And freaked me out because
why?
Bad form. You don't go to somebody's house for the weekend and have sex in their house. And I was very clear about that before I extended the invitation for them to come up. This is a no sex zone, okay?
That's, I mean, yeah, you sad. Live there.
Don was like, thank God.
That's sad. That includes me. But my point is, you guys agree with me that that's a terrible thing to do.
No,
no
you
it's
would
not.
Never
you
do that.
Weirdo, no. You just wash the sheets and don't think about it.
You would go to somebody else's house for the weekend and perform that act.
That act
in their,
the
under
act.
Their
Stop
roof.
Talking about it like that act.
Under
God.
Their roof.
It's just sex. You,
I feel like you're Catholic.
It's so natural.
I mean, there's so much
act.
Shame.
Yeah. Not in my house,
You've
it's not.
Be Catholic.
You do it at, look, you know how you don't like to poop at work, Jackson?
Yeah, I know.
Well,
that.
You shouldn't have sex in somebody else's house either. That should be something for you that should be safe for your own house or your own hotel room.
Wow.
I mean, I have strong feelings. Technically, I did have Ralph over for a New Year's Eve party about 15 years ago, and he had sex in our bathroom. We had to burn the house down.
Well, that's my point. If you don't have to burn the house down.
Yeah.
All right. How about you guys? Any favorite Dave memories? Or have you already forgotten him?
All I remember is that we used to argue about him going to Vegas 75,000 times and how he would tell us that he could drive it in like an hour and a half.
Right. Yeah.
And we were like, no, no one can drive it in an hour and a half. That's
doesn't matter what kind of car you have.
No, and then he goes, I could if I had a Sebring. Like he picked out that specific. Yes. As if
the Chrysler Sebring is the one that will get him there.
Yeah. Like that's a high performance car that will help him.
My favorite Dave memory is that we have an ad that runs in the morning that talks about helping people with AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And it's like a charitable ad. Mm-hmm. It's like a great ad. And then in it talks about how it's easier to treat it now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That it's like, it doesn't even get detected. And you're like the Magic Johnson's thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And from what I understand, Dave then commented, I think Muggs has a good impression of it.
Oh, that's good that you can't get AIDS anymore.
No, he didn't. Yeah, yeah. Like serious.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah.
All right, one more time. Then we got to, unfortunately, move on with our first post-Dave show.
Yeah.
All right, start planning, you know, the memorial.
Funerals and
right,
stuff.
Right.
Can we ask Paramore to play the funeral?
It wouldn't hurt to ask.
Dave, you reach my cell phone. Leave a message.
That's it.
What would happen if we played Paramore next and Dave didn't tweet about it?
Oh, this would be the time to do
like,
it.
And he would be dead. What would happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the time.
And also, every time we play Paramore, which is a couple times a day, and it's always the same song because I believe they only have one.
They just made the one single before they broke up, yes.
Dave tweets about it, and I've got to think whoever runs their account has to be like, this dude is weird.
Oh, he's been blocked. He's definitely
been blocked. Muted. At least muted.
Yes.
At least muted, yeah. All right. R.I.P. Dave.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Sure. I can't believe this. I thought this was going very badly.
I didn't say it was going well. I just said, let's talk about it.
Totally.
Okay. RJ Bell's on the program today.
He's got a lot of splaining to do.
He's got picks for week 5 of the NFL.
Do we trust him? Do we bother?
I mean, he was 8-1 before last
which
week.
Is high. Okay. Which is
which fiery is
high.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What happened last week?
Last week, he was less than that. He actually got more one, two. How many picks does he make?
Three.
He got 3 picks wrong.
Oh, that's 100%.
It's an offer. Yeah.
Oh no.
So do we just
you're a loser?
Cut him out.
No. I mean, I think we have to have a talk with him, and if he doesn't
send him to hang out with Dave.
Yeah.
Is that what we do?
Puppy Lake. <man. laughs>
Jensen has to get up on this on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
You follow an ex on social media.
You're not over an ex, is what that's what we call it. Also,
okay,
you're not over them. You still love them.
But couldn't you follow them and not be?
Of course you could.
And be over them?
Of course you could if you were a mature adult.
Yeah, if you're immature and you don't want to just cut ties, it's a great thing to do.
Wow,
I can see how this is going to go. And one of our favorite people in the world, Rob Corddry, will join us in studio as well. We'll take a break. We will come.
Cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Thought that went perfectly. Silly.
timing of it was good. Mm-hmm. I was happy with it.
Look, the few of us that are still left alive have to try harder, you guys.
It's not six. Yeah.
It's just tough to get over something that intense that quickly.
By the way, this tape is going to sound awful if he actually does turn up dead. People are going to be like, you guys are assholes. How could you be so flippant about it? RIP Dave. All right, Allie, time for our first post-Dave look at what's happening here on this Thursday morning Kevin DeBean show.
Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan has announced a solo U.S. tour. What?
No one wants that.
He reveals plans that he's going to play some songs spanning across his multiple projects. So he's going to do Smashing Pumpkins, his one, his solo work, all sorts of stuff, you guys. 12-date run begins November 4th here in Los Angeles and then goes across cities like Nashville and New York. But he is playing three shows here in L.A. on November 4th, 5th, and 6th. At the Lodge Room. So tickets go on sale this Friday.
Forgive me, what's the Lodge
Room? That's what I was going to ask.
It is a place where he will be playing. I believe it's in Eagle Rock.
The Lodge Room.
Okay. Is it like a VFW hall or something?
I hope not for his sake, because that's a big fall from grace.
Because he plays the Staples Center with the Smashing Pumpkins. It sounds like this.
No,
is
it's a very tiny place, tiny venue, for sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think most of these are going to be tiny venues. Yeah, I don't think he's going to sell out the Forum doing a solo tour.
I will tell you what's fun about Billy. And by the way, he does have some good solo music, some. But he has fascinating choices in covers. When you go see him, he does Stairway to Heaven, you know, he does Bowie songs.
Brick House.
Yeah, I don't know about Brick House, but Talking Heads. I mean, he just has all sorts of crazy stuff, which I think is, it's always fun to see somebody do a set like that that's, you know, just not all the hits.
Yeah,
all the time.
When I've heard Billy Corgan perform alone, I'm like, you know what this dude needs? Stairway to Heaven.
Really,
I need something super long, kind of boring at times.
Right,
need super talent to pull it off.
Oh, he's got the voice, man. He's got the voice to make that come alive.
Okay,
he's practically Robert Plant.
Right,
Lodge Room is in Highland Park.
Okay.
For everybody that wants to go.
And it is the VFW Hall. That's confirmed.
It is not. It's okay. You know, small,
Eagles Lodge,
small venue. So you can see, like, a big artist, a small venue.
During the day, they have a rotary meeting, and then it's Billy Corgan's show.
Clear it out quickly.
Mm-hmm. And then a puppet show.
Oh, yeah, the puppet show's on the next day. There is something there on Monday, the 21st, called Mr. Creepy Pasta Storytime.
I don't know what it is, and I need to go.
It sounds amazing, actually.
Mr. Creepy Pasta Storytime.
Yeah, that's on the 21st, so... If you want to see Billy Corgan, maybe get a twofer.
Yeah. That's worth it.
All right. Guys, Alamo Drafthouse is doing something kind of different. They're being very candid about the movie Joker. The company, which operates 40 theaters coast to coast, told parents the movie is not for kids and has, quote, overall bad vibes. This is in a Facebook post confirmed by an Alamo representative. They put, parental warning, this is not a joke. Joker is rated R, and for good reason. There's lots of very, very rough language, brutal violence, and overall bad vibes.
I mean, that's consistent with the feeling you get when you watch the trailer, which is just, it is very unsettling and unpleasant.
It's dark.
But I think they're talking to parents that maybe just see the word Joker and are like, I'm bringing my kids.
Right.
And they wrote, it's a gritty, dark, and realistic Taxi Driver-esque depiction of one man's descent into madness. It's not for kids, and they won't like it anyway. There's no Batman. I think they're being as clear as possible. Don't bring your kids to this.
And yet, people will bring their kids to that.
They sure will.
100%
always happens.
Will. Yeah. Opens up this Friday. Who's going Friday?
Me.
Who's going Saturday?
Me.
Sunday?
Me.
I knew it.
Oh, not allowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's wise for them to put that word out there that it's not for children, because you're absolutely right, Allie. People will just think it's part, that's another Batman movie.
Yeah.
Or like Endgame or whatever.
But like, again, people that don't pay attention to anything, they really need to be told that.
Have you been out in the world?
I'm saying there's nothing about the Joker, this movie, the trailer, the talk, the interviews, the everything that's been going on that says it's going
to
be.
But you
a
just
nice
said
one.
People who don't pay attention to anything.
Yeah, and famous child actor Marc Maron's in it. Like, kids love Marc Maron. They love long standing political rants, facial hair. They love that.
Sure.
Okay. Can you imagine a kid going to that movie and just being so bummed? Where's Batman? This sucks, Mom. And she's just like, you be quiet.
I hope Mr. Creepypasta's in it.
We need to go see that, don't we?
Wouldn't that be a twist?
Yeah. We really need to go see that.
Oh, we're trying Dave again?
Yeah. I mean, just in case.
One more.
Just
if his phone is still, you know, hasn't been disconnected yet.
Mm-hmm. I've just opened up one of those Facebook Rest in Peace pages.
Okay.
So
okay.
People can leave comments.
Because Krista would have turned the phone off. Why pay for an extra phone if he's gone?
Hey, what's up? It's Dave. You reached my cell phone. Leave a message.
Bummer. The saga continues.
It's going to be a tough day, guys.
It is, man. I'm kind of tearing up a little bit. Kinda.
Define kinda.
I mean, I'll be all right. I'll get over it.
I'll tell you one thing I know he didn't die of. AIDS. Doesn't exist anymore. Can't get it.
Can't get it.
Heard a great man say that. Oh, rest
not my
in
fault.
Peace. Well, yeah, it kind of is. So this is an interesting story. They're saying one of the reasons Disney and Sony finally came to terms over the use of Spider-Man was due to personal pleas from the actor Tom Holland.
Is that right?
Sources say,
I need a job, help.
I like money.
Sources say the star made multiple appeals to Disney chairman and CEO Bob Iger and Sony film chairman Tom Rothman for them to reach a resolution. The Hollywood Reporter said yesterday that as a result, after several weeks where it seemed like Holland's version of the character would no longer interact with characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the two companies reached that deal to co-produce not only a third Sony Spider-Man movie, but for Holland to appear in one more Disney production. What if a 23-year-old young man was like, I got this. Everybody stand down. Let me make some calls. That would be huge.
Yeah, that's very cool, actually. That's very cool.
I love it.
Imagine him, like, he gets handed that role and he kills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then
everyone
like,
loves him.
I don't know. We're arguing over it. There may be, you know, not many more. So he's like, oh, come on, man. I just got a superhero.
And he's...
I was a superhero for one movie.
He's so young, he probably still remembers, like, when he had to put on, like, a class, like, debate type thing. So he wrote it down, like, okay, here's what I had to do
furthermore,
in school. Furthermore. And here's
in conclusion.
My thesis.
Yeah.
And he totally did it like he would in front of the class. And then he had a diorama as
How
well.
How old is he?
23.
It's amazing.
I mean, that's young.
Yeah, that's young.
Well, I just mean, like,
go to the heads of studios.
Yeah, it's true. He even looks younger than that.
He does.
He's a little Doogie Howser-esque.
And he's a doctor.
Correct.
A lot of people don't know that.
That's true. You're correct.
Helps me with my spleen. He helps me with my spleen.
Oh.
What's wrong with your spleen? Is that a Spider-Man joke?
Seems like we're going deep into the improv of it, but I was just...
Oh, I wasn't sure if it was like a Spider-Man reference.
No,
someone had a bad spleen and he's
5 seconds
I'll
until
web
we go on
that
the air.
Up.
Oh, no, five seconds.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Gwen Stefani, Tommy Lee, Tessa Thompson, Lena Headey, Sean William Scott, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. He's like my best friend.
He's your best friend?
Yeah.
You met him that one time.
Met him once and he was like, hey, you want a picture? And I'm like, yeah. So,
I mean, that sounds like best friends.
BFF.
Good news. The King of Mexico texted us from his grave and said
he got cell service 6 feet under?
Yeah. He wasn't dead yet and he climbed back out. He's on his way in.
Oh, good.
How about that?
So I was wrong again when I assumed that because he wasn't here at 5:30, he was probably dead.
Right.
One day you're going to get it right, though.
One day.
But you're going to have to keep doing it soon for the rest of your life. All right. For the next feature, the answer is beer mug.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Don't
no,
know.
But
don't
I'm just saying.
We don't know that. We're playing a game that we like to call Who's the Dick? It's probably beer mug, but let's hear the man out. Let's hear what he has to say.
So I take my kid to the park 2 days ago.
That beer mug's the dick.
Come on, I got
right?
it. It's
okay.
And it's a very wonderful park, and a lot of the bench.
Is it a big park? Like,
okay,
is that a lot of grass?
We don't want details, Kevin. Don't take me out of this. And a lot of older Russian Jews, not like the Orthodox Jews, but they sit there and play chess. But I was there on Tuesday, and Orthodox Jews were walking through the park with a shofar, which is a ram.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a lovely
what,
now.
That's but. What they blow when they welcome in the Jewish New Year of Rosh Hashanah.
It's a less fun Ricola.
Yeah.
Yes, got it.
So
That's not
that one's got some.
That's like the ska version.
Yeah.
Right. Skills. Okay, now forgive me, and I'm not interrupting to be myself a dick. I just want a clarification because you made a point of saying the Russian Jews, but then you said Orthodox Jews are also walking through. Is there a reason why you differentiate between those?
Yes, because the older Russian Jews are like old men. They're playing chess. They're not wearing any of the traditional
Orthodox garb.
Garb and the attire. So,
what's the difference between Orthodox and Hasidic?
They're the same.
It's basically
the same.
The Orthodox Hasidic Jews.
Listen, let me just say this to our audience. If we're getting something wrong about the Jewish faith, it's Muggs is our leader here in this particular
second.
I've
never claimed to be a Jew, like a good Jew, because I'm terrible. I have tattoos, bacon. I mean, I've just veered off the path of
You're a terrible
Judaism.
Jew and a terrible human.
Yes.
Just for the record, I do think there's a slight difference. But anyway, point is, they're very dedicated to their religion, both of them. Right. Yeah.
So the Hasidic Jews were walking through the park blowing the shofar.
I thought they were Orthodox.
Okay. God damn it.
He says it with disgust, too. He's such a self-hating Jew. So the Orthodox Jews.
Listen.
Who's playing poker?
It's a bunch of dogs.
Chess. Okay. The Hasidic Jews are walking around, and their kids are like 13, 14, offering blessings.
Okay.
So they walk up to one of the older men and blow the shofar for them and sit. And there it is.
Ricola!
Do they take requests, by the way? If you wanted to hear, like, Baby Got Back, could they play it?
Maybe a little Herb Albert? I don't know.
A little Real Big Fish?
Herb Albert is a good pull, though.
Yeah, indeed.
So, it's a great example.
So, anyway.
14-year-olds always listen to Herb Albert.
They're going around, and I have my daughter. My daughter is, like, intrigued by this. She's like, Daddy, what's that? And I was trying to explain. You know,
it's, what a great teachable moment as a parent.
So,
baby, that's a Jew. I know we hide them from you, but they're out in the wild. They're here.
So the Hasidic Jews
are playing checkers.
Chess.
These are the Russians.
Chess.
Russians are playing checkers.
Yeah, I'm standing there, and they come up to me. And the first thing one of the kids says is Shana Tova, which is
Happy New Year
in Hebrew.
Right.
And I, like, you know, knowing a little bit of, like, being bar mitzvahed back in the day, and I know what that means, I was able to recite it back to him. I said, Shana Tova.
So far, it sounds like a very pleasant and amicable encounter.
Yeah. So then
how is anyone a dick in this particular
story?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. All right.
So then the kid asks, would you like to receive a blessing?
Now, what does that mean?
It appears to be something very common when I live near Fairfax and Beverly and stuff. Like, there are people, mostly kids, walking around, and then they have you hold certain things that are part of the tradition. And they
don't take you to their car, do they?
No, they just pray together.
It's like they have
a small prayer. Yeah.
So in other words, they're trying to spread the joy of their religion at this holy time of year to everyone.
They're trying to do a mitzvot, which is a good deed.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay. Sounds good so far.
So I had my daughter there. They asked me.
How did she like it?
She was kind of like, didn't know what was going on. But when he asked me that, I quickly responded, I'm okay, thanks. And.
Wait, what's the.
They just want to share
joy with you?
Yeah.
Would you like a blessing?
Yeah.
And you said, I'll pass.
I'm okay,
all
thanks.
Filled up.
Right. I'm good.
I'm so blessed.
And
I have too much good in my life. I need to shed some of the good.
You guys, this weighed on me very heavily.
But why do
for the next 5 hours?
Why do you think you said that? Because it would have been a sweet thing for Evie to see.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it would have learned a little bit about her culture.
Absolutely.
But I don't understand how the blessing works. So had you said yes, is this the same as when you ask someone to pray for you because you have a sick relative or something like that?
Except it would be in front of you. You'd be doing it with them.
It'd be in front of you, and they'd have you recite a little prayer with them.
Is it long?
You
would,
No. I mean, it's
really short.
In my opinion, it's a little too long to just, like, do with a stranger. But it's not that long. No.
It's not that long. So yeah, and
I mean, would you have to come up with something? I guess is
no,
my question.
No, they leave me on everything.
So you're just supposed to say
that. I just stand there.
And just repeat what they say.
So you said no, I'm good.
Well, here's the thing. So after the prayer, they blow the shofar for about 5 minutes, and
it's so long.
To try to alleviate my guilt, I think part of me said I'm okay, thanks, is because I didn't know how Evie was going to react with the shofar, because when we were watching, when they were doing it originally, they were, like, way down the park. So we were watching from a distance.
Look, I'm not a model parent. But it seems like that's a teachable moment.
Look,
it seems like she...
I do like the idea. He's like, oh, my kid could have been scared of the show.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I try to
I know
tell
that's what
myself.
You're saying.
So the question is, I guess, is Beer Mug or would anyone have been a dick if a 13-year-old Orthodox Jew came up and offered a blessing to turn that person down? Is that a dick move?
I thought they were Hasidic.
I thought they were Russian.
They were playing Monopoly, okay?
but also you have to take into account Beer Mug is Jewish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an important part of it. Mm-hmm. And his daughter is there,
but I think
and she's
you can pray
wondering.
For anyone can pray for you. It doesn't matter whether you're
right,
a vet.
But I think
but
you're
the new
right.
year.
More likely to...
Yeah, it's the new year. You're supposed to celebrate. Yeah. It's just like, that's why they're out there.
No, you know what? I'm good. I don't need...
This weighed on me so much, you guys.
So what did the guy do? What did the kid do?
He said, okay. And he went to the next, like, older guy, and he gave him the
blessing.
Did
you see him cry, or did he hide his tears from you as he walked away?
Yeah.
I felt terrible. So much so that 5 hours later, I called Mama Muggs up and to talk about
it. How's that going to help anything?
And she immediately, the first thing she said, oh, yeah, you should feel guilty. You should have, like, there's no downside. You should have accepted
it. Yeah, there's no downside.
And so anyway, I should have, because it would have been a great teachable moment, like you said, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Regardless...
Whoa.
Is that?
Just played some Herb Albert while we wrap this up. That's it.
Well,
so your excuse is that you did it for your daughter's benefit because you thought she'd be afraid of it. But in reality,
also,
you were just uncomfortable with a stranger praying
And
for
also,
you.
Too, I was like standing in the middle of the park and like there's just a bunch of people around. And it would have been all eyes on me, I think. And I didn't want to be.
He doesn't want to be seen with Jews.
But
is that what it is?
Dude, if they started playing this, that would have been. That would be fresh.
Happy New Year, Juice.
But, yeah. Yeah. So
who's the dick?
Well, what are you going to do next Tuesday?
Look.
What are you going to do next Tuesday?
Well, I think, I'm going to repent because it's Yom Kippur.
Yeah, it's the Jewish Day of Atonement. It's the holiest day. You can atone for this.
Yeah. And now I'm going to walk to all my gigs on weekends on Fridays and Saturdays.
By the way,
you're fully
at all.
Committing?
Yeah. Not going to happen at all.
Next Tuesday? I will see you.
Oh, you're going to atone as well, Bean?
What just happened?
Next Tuesday, I was...
Is he trying to scare me?
Got it. See?
So dumb.
Because...
So dumb.
Oh, wow.
What are you going to do next? Okay.
That was a stretch.
Muggs is the day. This is weird, but we play Paramore, and Dave the King of Mexico shows up.
Mm-hmm. It's like the bat signal.
Weird.
Really bizarre.
Mm-hmm. His spidey senses, man. Whenever Paramore's on K-Rock, he wakes up, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, Thursday means two things on the Kevin Bean Show. One is get up on this. Jensen introduces us to something new. The other is Dr.
Brinsky,
who ditched us, who apparently is in the wind. He's probably on Ann Coulter's show or something today, so we're not going to be able to talk to him, but we'll miss him. Also, RJ Bell will be joining us from Las Vegas because he went 0-3 last week, and he's got the nerve to come on and tell us how to bet. So we'll discuss.
I have three picks from a homeless dude outside, too. We're going to put him up against RJ.
Why not?
Yeah,
you can't do any worse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Allie, what's happening with you?
Well, I've got a little something for the listener. How about a 4-pack of 3-day passes to LA Comic-Con? Yay! It is going down October 11th through the 13th at the LA Convention Center. You're going to meet the biggest names in comics, TVs, movies, pop culture. It's going to be a blast, you guys. If you would like to go, let's take callers 10 and 11 right now at 1-800-520-1067. And you are going to get that 4-pack of 3-day passes to LA Comic-Con October 11th through the 14th. 13th. At the LA Convention Center.
Whatever it is.
11th through
the
13th.
Look at the tickets when you get them.
You'll find out. Google.
Yeah, don't just all of a sudden at the end of the 3-day passes go, I'm going to go on the 4th day, because there isn't one, is what I'm telling you.
So your Comic-Con weekend has been how?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Great question, Kevin. Will you be down there asking those riveting questions this year?
And better?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So a supposedly broke R. Kelly has been stashing his lucrative music royalties in a childhood pal's bank account.
Robert.
The singer has been pushing to get out of jail while awaiting trial on sex trafficking and other charges. And his lawyers have been arguing he's no flight risk. He's practically penniless. He's got a ton of legal woes. He had a nasty divorce. But federal prosecutors scoffed at the assertion. In new court papers, they said the defendant continues to receive hundreds of thousands of dollars in connection with royalties that he's owed for his music. And they say he's a very serious flight risk and will obstruct, attempt to obstruct, threaten, intimidate, or attempt to threaten or intimidate one or more prospective witnesses. The judge agreed, denied bail. So now there's a May 18th, 2020 trial expected to last about 3 weeks.
May I say this? It may be very controversial regarding R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a good man.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go that far. But
I think he's a little shady.
Yeah, I think...
Now that he's hiding money...
On a limb there.
Mm-hmm. Now that he's hiding money, I think I'm starting to turn against him.
If he's hiding money in my account... I'm like, he's in jail for life.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
What am I going to buy?
For
good
sure.
luck finding me, sucker.
You guys love The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Never seen it.
Oh, my God. What?
I've not seen that show.
Bit of a pop culture hole for you.
Yeah, it is. Very much. Well, I have a lot of those in the 80s and 90s. A lot.
Yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, in tribute to his beloved 90s sitcom, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, actor Will Smith has created a limited edition collection of athleisure wear inspired by his West Philadelphia-born character. We're talking a gym bag kit. That's a nylon bag, track jacket, T-shirt, socks, and a basketball. That'll sell for $200. What about a Will Smith air freshener? Yep, that'll set you back $6. A tie-dye throwback T-shirt, hoodie, socks, shorts, hats. I mean, we've got it all, you guys.
I pulled up to the house about 7 or 8, and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo, Holmes, smell you later."
Still got it.
Does he need the money from the air freshener?
Yeah. What about socks for $15?
What does he need that dough for?
A reversible track jacket featuring that paisley lining that looks just like the one his character wore on the show. I mean, all of these things are available.
I think those will sell.
Oh, absolutely will.
I just don't know what he needs to do it for.
Maybe he's just unloading it.
It's like a garage sale?
Yeah.
He had a bunch of air fresheners made in the 90s. He's like, I got to get rid of these.
He has to buy Jaden more eyes or whatever he tweets about. It's the greatest Jaden Smith.
Was that the mirrors? Eyes are mirrors or something like that?
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah. He is the best.
Excellent stuff. Would you be interested in buying the axe that Jack Nicholson used in The Shining?
I'm not one of those memorabilia people.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it is certainly an iconic movie prop.
Oh, for sure.
You're into that sort of thing?
Yeah, of course, from Stanley Kubrick's 1980 horror film, The Shining. It sold at auction in London for... four times its original estimated selling price.
Wow.
How much do you think that axe that was used by Jack Nicholson in The Shining went for?
I'm going to say $40,000.
Okay.
I was actually going to say $40,000, so I'm going to go to $50,000.
Okay.
I'm going to go $50,000.01.
Okay. Kevin, you are the winner.
Yes!
$209,000.
That's not worth it.
Here's Johnny.
That's $209,000, you guys.
And as Kevin frequently points out, the rest of the winner's life is going to be, no, really, it's the same axe that Jack Nicholson had in the movie.
You didn't see The Shining? See that little piece of paper right there? That's the authenticity.
This is a big deal. Why aren't you as excited about this as I am?
I got one of these in my kitchen.
Other items sold at the auction included the Batsuit worn by Michael Keaton in Tim Burton's 1989 movie.
Oh, good one. Yeah, the good
you
one.
Would buy that, Allie.
Absolutely.
Ew, why'd she smell like that? Did you see that?
That was odd.
My nose was running.
Yeah.
The Roman general armor worn by Russell Crowe in 2000 film Gladiator.
Also very iconic.
Uh-huh. What about the holy hand grenade of Antioch from Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
These are all very good props.
I buy all of these. Yeah. I'm not lying to you. Oh, it's good stuff. By the way, that Dr. Sleep movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor, grown-up Danny from The Shining?
Yeah.
It's coming out soon.
I know. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's coming out.
Yeah, like next month.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Yeah. Who's excited? Am I the only one super pumped for
that? I'm excited.
I'm excited. Okay. Sure.
he's Danny, but he's older. And he's going to be like, ooh, weird stuff happened at that hotel. And they're going to be like, what? And then it's like The Shining again.
That's exactly the plot.
It's going to be real good, you guys.
Are you also writing their IMDb page? Or
I mean, reach out to me. I can totes mm-hmm. do it, you guys.
Okay.
Some birthdays for you. Tommy Lee. I mean, right? Just
sure.
steering boats with his wee-wee. Tessa Thompson, Lena Headey, Sean William Scott, Gwen Stefani, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And
this day in history with Old Man Ruben.
It's 1950 and I'm reading the Sunday paper, looking for the Sears Roebuck pullout for this bra model I loved. And I accidentally stumbled onto the funny pages. I mean, I'm not one for comics. There are just too many words for me. But one of the panels caught my eye. It was about a dog and a bunch of kid losers, and it was named after my favorite fruit, peanuts. Some dude named Charles Schatz or Schutz or whatever debuted the brand new comic, and it was hilarious. These kids had one-liners, footballs that were hard to kick, and one little doofus with a blankie. And this dog, man, this dog, he was even funnier than Spuds McKenzie. I stopped reading it after a year because I used the paper as firewood to keep me warm, so I'm not sure what happened to it. But maybe look up the old ones on Facebook or whatever you kids do. You might laugh. And I still have all the cutouts of that bra model, too, if you ever want to borrow them.
See, because Ruben is old.
He's old. He's not.
It's creepy.
Not young. He sure has seen a lot of history happen, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
All right, Thursday morning here on K-Rock. Jensen, what you got for us?
It's Get Up On This.
We're going to get you up on something spooky.
Wait, what?
For the month of October is meant to be scary. So Jensen's going to get you up on something new. And it's Halloween time. Let's all scream boo.
Get up on this.
It's time to get up on this.
Get up on this.
You don't want to miss.
Get up on this.
It's pure horror bliss.
Get up on this.
It's time to get up on this.
Wow. I am intrigued.
Uh-huh.
Special intro.
I love it. It's officially October, which means the season of spooky is upon us. So
I'm sorry, it's officially what, Jensen?
Excuse me. It's officially Rocktober.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I've decided that this entire month, every single week for Get Up On This, mm-hmm. I will be getting you up on three different horror movies that I don't think most people have seen.
Fantastic.
It's a perfect way for me to do less work over the next 4 weeks.
Excellent.
All right, let's get ready for the first installment. I do want to encourage people to view along. It's only 12 movies. You can watch them over the month, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Especially since if you think you've missed one, I mean, everyone wants to see a new horror movie.
Sure, of course.
First one is released back in 2015, and it's a movie that is directed, written by, and features actor Joel Edgerton.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like that guy?
Yes. He's tremendous.
He is tremendous. I think he should be working in basically every film. But the ones that I am most attracted to are the ones that he's controlling. I think he's one of the better up-and-coming filmmakers.
Yeah, totally.
And so this one is called The Gift. Do you guys know about
it? Sorry, great movie. Jason Bateman. Great movie.
We do know about it because Kevin hung up on Joel Edgerton he was promoting this on our show.
I did?
Yep.
I don't remember that.
Well, that's true. That seems easier for him to forget about.
Yeah, saw it and loved it.
It's so good.
It stars Jason Bateman, Rebecca Hall, and Alison Tolman, and tells the story of Simon, played by Bateman, who moves into a new house and a neighborhood with his wife, right? And they run into an old acquaintance from his youth who seems not only have mysterious gifts for them, but is keeping quite a secret. Okay.
And he's creepy as hell.
An unfinished business from his childhood, you'd assume. Edgerton is almost unrecognizable as Gordo. Mm-hmm. It's the name of the character. And if you're a fan of movies like Hand That Rocks the Cradle or Good Son or like Sleeping with the Enemy, this is in your wheelhouse. You'll love that sort of like I'm scared in my own home vibe.
Yeah,
you know,
great.
Nothing feels comfortable. Most importantly, hour and 48 minutes. It's got a spectacular twist
ending.
So
it's only 20 minutes too long for you?
No, I'm fine with a good movie that's 148. I'll live in it. It really messes with the viewer. Imagine the creepy kid from your high school coming back to have some questions for you in your adulthood. Here's a clip of Bateman and his wife who've come home to see a school of koi fish in their outside pond. And there's a note from Gordo explaining that it's a gift.
Well, we have to thank him this time.
For what? Coming onto our property without asking? No. This is not troubling to you?
I really don't think that he meant it to be troubling. He wouldn't see it like that. He just thinks he's given us some fish.
You know, they used to call him Weirdo in school. Gordo the Weirdo.
That's it.
That's a good movie.
Terrifying, so good. Scary movie. So that's my first one. That's The Gift with Joel Edgerton and Jason Bateman. Okay. second pick this week is the movie Unfriended. Do you guys know about Unfriended? Mm-hmm. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
It's so good, mm-hmm. and no one has seen, at least not enough.
I don't think I've seen it.
Not enough people have seen it. It's a 2014 found footage horror movie produced by the almost never miss Blumhouse company, so you know it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. The movie is completely seen through the lens of a computer screen, right? So it's almost like a screencast. So you see just what you see, you know, just what you would see in a computer.
It seems challenging.
It's a little tough. You watch as a Skype conversation between high school classmates unfold, right? And it becomes terrifying when a mysterious person joins the call. It's an account. And the problem is that it's someone using a girl from their high school's account who was bullied and committed suicide the prior year.
Oh.
Okay? You won't recognize anyone in the movie, which is good because you want to sort of engulf yourself in the format more than anything. Like you said, it's a little startling. More important than anything else? Hour 23 minutes.
Excellent.
I know some of you might get annoyed.
I would argue more important.
It's the most
than
important.
Than anything
most
else.
Most important okay, thing, right. You might get annoyed by the format, but I want you to stop whining because it gets very good and it has a nice ending. Let's listen to a clip.
Here you go. What are you guys doing?
Did you guys buy your tickets 2 weeks ago like I asked you?
No. Which seats are better, balcony or orchestra?
Hey, Mitch, who's your buddy?
Who is that?
I just tried to hang up on him.
Can we get rid of this person?
I don't know.
Is this here the whole time?
It's just probably a glitch.
Well, the glitch just typed.
Who is doing this? This is Laura's account. Who would hack into a dead girl's account?
Yeah. Maybe it's Laura.
All right.
It's good.
Yeah. Did you see Unfriended 2?
Well, I was going to say, I'm not getting you up on Unfriended 2, Dark Web, but it's worth watching if you're just sort of bored.
Good.
But Unfriended 1 is better. But it is a guilty pleasure. Get up on it. That is my second one. Okay, Unfriended number 2. Third and final pick of the week is Trick or Treat, which I mentioned on the air yesterday and got a lot of blank stares from everyone, and that offended me. It is a Halloween classic. Released.
I wondered why you went to HR right after work yesterday.
Well, I had to. I had to write it down. It was released in 2007. Writer-director Michael Dougherty, who recently made the Christmas horror movie Krampus, which was pretty funny.
Yes.
And also he made Godzilla King of Monsters, which was a movie we talked about a lot here.
Oh.
This was what kind of put him on the map. It's an anthology horror movie, meaning there are a few different stories told throughout it, right? And they don't really connect, but there's small elements linking them together.
Mm-hmm.
A movie called Creepshow was sort of the thing that put that kind of style for horror movies on the map.
Sure.
Now, a lot of people may recognize imagery from the movie because it's been the focus of those scare zones and like mazes and Halloween Horror Nights, but people haven't seen the movie. It's just like, it's just scary imagery. It stars Dylan Baker, Anna Paquin, Leslie Bibb, Brian Cox, all great people. The only thing that connects the four different stories is a character named Sam. Now, you recognize Sam. He's a mysterious trick-or-treating child. He wears dirty, footy, orange pajamas and a burlap sack over his head. It's almost like they use him on t-shirts at Hot Topic, but it's so good. And he appears in the movie every time someone breaks a Halloween tradition. The movie was originally delayed for 2 years for many reasons. One of them, a lot of dead children in it, and I think the studio had problems marketing
tough.
It. Yeah, very difficult. But this, to me, I don't understand how it's not a given for every Halloween. It's almost a Christmas story for Halloween. Like, this should be the thing everyone watches. More importantly, the most important part, hour 22.
That is the most important
it's
part.
It's perfect. Yeah. Let's listen to a small clip from the trailer of the great Philip Baker explaining Halloween to that fat kid from Bad Santa.
Trick-or-treat!
This is the one night that all sorts of things roam free. Sorry.
In.
Yeah, it's great. Those are the three movies this week. Again, The Gift, Unfriended, and Trick or Treat. It's the first week of Halloween movies. Forget up on this. You can see all of them. It would be fun to watch them together. And you can check out which ones I'm picking at krock.com, where all of our Get Up on This are listed. But most importantly, the spooky ones. Next week, three other Halloween scary movies to get you up on. Until then, here's the new theme again.
Get up on this.
That was
Get. In the 8 o'clock hour, we have RJ Bell with his picks for week 5.
Loser.
Of the NFL.
I hope his dartboard works this week.
And we have Rob Corddry in studio. Who
a winner.
Love very much.
Winner Rob Corddry.
Yeah.
He's got a new show on CBS called The Unicorn. So our little cable friend Rob Corddry, man. Making the big time.
Stepping it up.
And it did well in the ratings.
And those are they're few and far between, those new shows that make any kind of an impact at all. And, of course, he's also on Ballers and in a million other things. So we love Rob. He's coming up. First, though, We got into a discussion very near the end of the show yesterday. Allie, how did this come up where we started talking about following your ex on social media?
I talked about a woman named Susan Trombetti. She's a matchmaker, and she was talking about what it really means if your ex still follows you on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And she said a lot of people think it's about keeping tabs on them. They have residual feelings, so you want to keep tabs on your ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend. But then it brought up all different conversations like, oh, no, I feel like if I unfollow them, then they'll think that I still care because I unfollowed them. If I just keep following them, it doesn't matter. Or it could just be that you forgot.
Yeah, I would say that's probably 80%.
That could be a lot of it. But that brought up, whoa, a conversation because Jensen has very serious feelings about this.
I have very correct
opinions.
Very
wrong opinions.
I am under the absolute knowledge that keeping someone in your life in any way, shape, or form when you guys have broken up is just dumb, and it shows that you haven't developed enough to move on fully.
Insane. Insane. The opposite is true.
No.
The fact that you can keep them in their life and it isn't a problem shows that you have matured out of that relationship and now they can be friends because, look, maybe you didn't work as a couple. Doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean you can't still have a lot in common with them, still see them, still hang out, still have fun, still be in touch online.
But that's a whole different thing.
Yeah,
you're
way,
still hanging out, having fun with ex-girlfriends?
No, I'm saying, dude, you can, but I mean, that's even...
You really can't.
If you want to take all of that, well, maybe you can't control yourself, Jensen.
No, it's not even
most
close to what it is.
Can.
Maybe it's because you're weak.
I could 100%. What I'd like to do is respect the new person I'm with or allow myself to have enough self-growth in order to say to myself, that didn't work. It's time to go find something that is important to me and that I can nurture myself rather than let these people from my past live rent-free in my brain. Whether I'm still thinking about them romantically or just trying to figure out the pancakes they ate for breakfast, it's knowledge I don't need. And by the way, every generation before us didn't have it.
Just because you have a wife doesn't mean you can't still be friends online with an ex-girlfriend.
I'm not saying that it's that, number one, she doesn't care. Number two, which she doesn't. But I'm saying it is not needed. There's no need for you to know what the steps of your past are doing at this current moment.
So you have too many friends as part of
the problem. That's absolutely true.
Too many friends.
But almost unconnected. But the truth is I don't need the new friend. They were supposed to be something in my life, a romantic partner. Uh-huh. That did not work out. I appreciate them. I thank them. And much like Marie Kondo does to a T-shirt, looks at them, respects it, throws it away.
But aren't there millions of relationships where the couple, even in some cases, mutually agrees, we are not a good romantic fit, but you're a nice person and I'm a nice person. Let's just be friends. Doesn't that happen all the time?
I'm not saying not to do that. I think my focus is on social media mm-hmm. and the idea that you... And by the way, I don't think... your definition of friends seems to be different. You're like going to the movies with them and touching hands in the popcorn.
I'm saying eliminate all that. Let's just stick it strictly to social media.
Yeah.
In the scenario that I just laid out,
yes.
Hey, you're a great girl, I'm a great guy, but we don't fit romantically. Let's just be friends,
yeah,
even though we have been dating.
That is very mature.
Wouldn't those people then still, wouldn't it make sense for them to be, treat each other like all their other friends and be, follow each other on social media?
They weren't friends. They were romantically.
And now they're friends.
They aren't friends,
though. That doesn't happen.
But they became friends when they decided they weren't a romantic fit.
How often do you think that happens, Bean? That
often.
Both of them agree mutually, yeah, it's definitely not working.
It's rent-free, bro. It's sitting in your brain.
We could be great friends.
Yeah, that rarely happens.
And it's not even
needed. Maybe 5% of the time. There's always one person that thought it would work out.
But let's say it even does. Let's say that both of them have mm-hmm. a healthy relationship with the breakup. And, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. She's a good girl. You know, whatever. Point is, why do you need to know everything they're doing?
I don't.
What I know. What is the reasoning to even be like, oh, he's looking pretty buff these days? Like, or like, oh, there's his mom. She was a cool woman. Like, none of that
What's
stuff
What's the
means
reason
anything.
To follow any of your friends on social media?
Because I don't have a relationship. Yeah, I didn't have sexual relations with him.
You don't
I didn't
know that, Allie.
Well,
that's
yeah,
true.
True.
That's a good point.
I didn't have sexual relations with him.
You follow this ex that you're on good terms with now for mm-hmm. the same reason you follow your other friends. It's just to keep tabs on how they're doing.
I don't want to keep tabs on the ex.
Nailed it, Bean.
You know what? Can you pull that clip? Because I want to play it when we get the restraining order on him as a stalker.
By the way,
that is
I don't have any. I don't follow or have
I was
any
ask
interaction
that too, because Bean's making all of this up.
That's because the police told you not to.
No, it's because I'm so old and have been married so long, all of my exes are dead.
It's because you follow them in real life. So here's what it is. You almost made an exact point. You did it for me. I don't need to follow what my exes are doing. That is,
they're
what
friends of
do.
Yours.
He used not the words friends
keep
of tabs. Yours.
Keep tabs,
yeah. Like way, you would on is, any other friend.
I don't keep tabs
they're
on
not
my friends.
Your friends,
I, but only that. I don't keep tabs on my friends. I don't have them all in my map, my friends app or whatever it is. I don't need to know exactly where they are all the time. If I come upon their pictures in social media, great. I love seeing them, but. With exes, there is way more emotion set. There's way more complications in there, and ignoring that is wrong. You have a different.
So you're saying it's just a much a simpler way to live your life.
Yes.
Just to stop.
It's just to cut good people out of your life because you can't handle a mature relationship. All right, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. But first, let me tell you about the Kevin Amin polls that were put up yesterday, and I don't think these results will surprise you. I'm, of course, as I often am, very disappointed in our list.
There you go.
which is his way of saying he's mad that you don't agree with him.
Right.
Should you follow your ex on social media? This was the Kevin Bean Twitter poll at Kevin Bean. Yeah, we're cool, 22%. Hell no, we're done, 78%. So that's a lot of haters like Jensen.
No. I just want to paint it as an unangry move. I want to paint it as a self-help motivational almost move to just move on and focus on new stuff.
On Facebook, however, very different results with almost 500 votes. Should you follow your ex on social media? Hell, we're good, 17%. Hell no, we're done, 83%.
Yeah.
So very different than the Twitter poll.
So you're wrong in every way.
Ruben says the only reason to stay quote-unquote friends with an ex is because you still want to bang them.
Well, absolutely. I think that is a large part of it. And then also from the 310, we got a text. As usual, Sir Jensen is correct and full of wisdom. There's absolutely no
Take
need to
easy.
Keep an ex on social media. No excuses.
It's Jensen's phone number.
Let's talk to Mark real quick. Line one, he's in Simi Valley. He'll be our first caller. Then we'll take yours at 1-800-520-1067. Mark, please weigh in on this. What do you got going on?
Hey, Bean, love you. I usually don't agree with you, but you are spot on.
I am stunned by this.
Yes,
I've had no support on this conversation.
Wrong, okay, so you still have feelings for all your exes?
That's not what he's saying.
Not for all my exes, but I do.
But
I
for
do
some of them.
That we get along very well. Mm-hmm. We had two kids together.
That's exactly
very different.
Okay, so that I'm gonna put a caveat on
very
that.
Absolutely.
Because he does sort of need to keep tabs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is slightly different. But go on, Mark. It is a good point you make.
Okay, so the kids are grown. Mm-hmm. The kids are 24. I mean, the youngest.
Okay.
So, but we still talk. I mean, she just had a birthday last week. I wished her a happy birthday. She gave me the little kissy face on the way back.
See what's happening
there's
right
no,
there?
Listen, there's no romantic anything. I'm remarried.
You don't think you guys are kind of flirting a little bit? I'm just playing devil's advocate here. You don't think so?
No, not one bit. No,
you're just friends.
Just full respect.
What does your current wife think of this relationship with your ex-wife?
We have such a great relationship, and my current wife is friends with my ex-wife as well.
Hmm. Can we talk to her?
I don't think that's necessary.
Is your wife there? I'd like to talk to your wife. I'd like to find out.
Mark, I have my follow-up, Mark. Is your wife social media friends with your ex-wife?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if she is or not.
Because I feel like that would give us a real sign as to how happy she is to have her in her life.
Okay. All right. Well, let's not rock the boat. Mark sounds like he's got a very happy life.
And, also, and by the way, having kids in a relationship, Mark did put a nice caveat on
it's
there.
It's very different.
Which is a little different,
of course. We appreciate the call, even though you never agree with me, Mark. Thank you very much. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Should you follow your ex on social media, yay or nay? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Talking about continuing to follow your ex on social media.
Being hung up on your ex.
This is a not
is it hung, it's one way to say it.
Sure.
A great orange man once said that a civil war was coming. I just didn't expect it was going to be over this issue. But listen to this. This is what the Kevin Bean listeners are saying from the 562. How else are you going to know who's winning post-breakup?
That's not healthy. It is not healthy.
Like, who's doing better? Excellent way to look at it.
It is not healthy.
From the 832. Hell no. Why does he need to see what I'm up to? The relationship is over, so bye.
Yep.
So a bunch of different opinions on this. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we, let's start with Kyle. He's in Torrance, if you don't mind, on line one to get us going here in this segment on K-Rock.
Morning, Kyle.
What's going on, party people?
Good morning to you. What say you?
I'm definitely on Team Jensen for this one.
Great.
You know, I personally have gone through a few breakups that, you know, social media was a big thing at the time and still is. And it does mean no good. It doesn't allow me for any personal growth.
Same.
You know, and if I've moved on to someone different, it's going to look really weird to them. You know, if I still have a relationship with this ex, you know, because I personally, if I were dating someone and knew they were, you know, just hanging out with their ex on the weekends here and there, I'd be a little thrown off by that.
And you'd be right, Kyle.
But what if, as we discussed, what if we take out the hanging out physically? Can you still be friends digitally? What's the harm in that?
I mean, I think that really all depends on personal experience. If it was a clean breakup, if it was a nasty breakup, me personally, I can't be seeing my ex-significant other's pictures and just like flip by like it was nothing, because I'm not that kind of person.
Interesting.
I have a little more feeling than that.
So you still carry baggage, even if it's a good breakup. No. You still carry some baggage with that relationship where it's uncomfortable for you to see that.
Because he's healthy enough to know his limits, Bean. Kyle is a sensitive man. He gets it. He understands what it means.
But like Master P, I got no limits. You know what I mean?
Exes that you remember. Right? So why are you even in this conversation?
Let's go to Jerry in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, hi guys. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you. Following your ex on social media.
Yeah, so this breakup was actually pretty bad. It ended up probably in the worst way possible. We kind of
murder suicide
a few years later. No, more like arguing, and then like, you know, just it got really bad to the point where we're just like, you know what, that's it. So it ended bad. We started talking to each other again. I'm married now. She's got her family. I got my family. And we kind of follow each other, but it's more of just like, you know, liking our kids' pictures and stuff like that. We never really communicate. But recently, I've been getting like dreams of that past relationship.
That sounds unhealthy.
Uh-oh.
I doubt their dreams about following each other on social media. I have a feeling their dreams about seeing each other physically.
Yes, that's the thing. And I've been kind of thinking whether I should just stop following her in reference to that, because it's been constant. It's been like once or twice every week.
Yeah,
I like that he's still considering it.
Yeah.
Bean, I mean, it sounds like digital life could, you know, get into some important things here.
Well,
sounds...
let's see how good these dreams get first, though. Let's not cut it off, you know, before they're done.
Right.
In your case, I think maybe that's a good idea, Jerry. Oh. But thank you, Michael. We appreciate it.
That seemed like that? 180.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, the 626. I still follow my exes because I think it's a respectful thing to do since you know each other so well. I just block their stories so I don't see their posts. Okay, now what's the point of following them if you basically mute them, you don't see them? That's not really following them.
Yeah. All right, let's go to David in Santa Monica. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I feel you should, not only should you unfollow, but your family members should unfollow.
Yes.
Because then you get updates.
Yep.
And I say this because my mom gives me updates on my son's ex-girlfriend of where she moved to, who she's dating. Old people are ruining social media.
Maybe you should only be on TikTok or something that your mom doesn't get.
No. David is right. Every once in a while, my mom will be like, you know, that new boyfriend seems pretty good for her. You know, like, and I'm
exactly.
like, I don't want to hear. Not only do I want, I am out of her life. You get out of her life.
Isn't that easy enough to say to your parent, hey, I don't want updates.
Yeah,
I,
but olds.
Olds, man.
Olds. Oh, okay. No, but they forget and they tell you anyway.
Yeah.
They don't hear you anyway.
God, David, you're speaking the truth, man.
I mean, the dagger was, she moved to Hawaii, where I want to move to. I don't even know that she's there.
Yeah, you would never need to know. Yeah, exactly.
Your mom ruined the whole state for you.
That's right. David, we should be running into these people at the bank like our parents used to. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need to know everything. We'd see them once, and then we look at our phones like we don't see them. That's how it's supposed to be.
Thank you for the call, David. We appreciate it. Jensen, question for you. Does your wife follow any of her exes on social media?
No. We have a. We both have this independently. We had this feeling before we got together.
Is she friends with any of her exes?
No.
Really?
No.
Man, you guys are just cut and dried, man.
Yeah, because it's over, dude. It's over.
Aren't over as a human, though.
Maybe they are. Being,
no,
you don't know.
Bean, this have is crazy, but they previous... can they can continue to live.
Yeah, they live on.
Once you break up.
To quote the great Sugar Ray, when it's over, it's over. You know what I mean? Like, you just walk away. It's their most famous quote.
Okay.
Did you just quote Sugar Ray?
Hi, it's Mama Muggs, and I'm here to remind you that tonight is Game 1 of the National League Division Series, where the hometown Los Angeles Dodgers face the wild card champion Washington Nationals. Sure, root them on. You know I won't be watching after the third inning.
Oh, dear Lord, Mama Muggs. Mama You're the Muggs. Worst fan ever.
You can't already be out. Walker Buehler has been announced to start for the Dodgers tonight. Game 1 of the NLDS, 5:36 is first pitch. By the way, there's going to be a little bit of a conflict for some fans today because the Rams are also on Thursday Night Football. So there may be a little picture-in-picture going on tonight. But go Dodgers. Let's get it done. Allie is here with another look at what's happening, and then we'll talk to RJ Bell in Las Vegas from pregame.com about all the other NFL games, too.
I don't know about you, but I am very excited for tomorrow.
Because?
Dolomite is my name! Yes!
Now, is this on Netflix?
Sure is.
Where we want all movies to be from now on?
Yep. Mm-hmm. You've got Eddie Murphy, Wesley Snipes, Keegan-Michael Key, Mike Epps, Craig Robinson. The list goes on.
Fantastic.
I can't even wait for this. Here's the thing. I'm going to watch it on Netflix, mm-hmm. and then I know I'm going to love it. So mm-hmm. I already bought tickets to see it at the New Beverly next week.
You know how to live.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
It's probably the right length, but since you're seeing it twice, mm-hmm. too long.
Well, it's going to be split up between days.
Oh, not like I thought you were watching back to back.
How dare you? Here's the thing. I bring this up because everything is coming up Eddie Murphy, it seems. We already know Dolomite Is My Name is coming out. It's something he's super proud of. He talked about how he's super pumped mm-hmm. that something like this is kind of going to bring him back in because he's really proud of it. Then, of course, you've got Coming to America 2
right.
that they're doing. He's hosting Saturday Night Live for the first time since 1984 coming up in a couple weeks.
Right.
And then in an interview with Collider, he brought up something else that people have kind of been clamoring for, and it's going to happen. He said, yeah, that's what we're doing after Coming to America 2.
More clumps.
We're doing Beverly Hills Ooh. Cop. And then the plan is to get back on stage and do some stand-up.
Jesus.
Beverly Hills Cop 4.
It's the 80s all over again.
Yeah, but it's good 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. The original one came out in 84, more than 30 years ago, and then followed by Beverly Hills Cop 2 in 87, and then Beverly Hills Cop 3 in 94.
I just like that franchise.
Love that
And then
franchise.
A bad Beverly Hills Cop show, TV show. Which did not work, but he showed up in the pilot, and he was really good in it.
It failed to launch that show.
Oh, they ended up airing it at one point. It did not go, obviously, but yeah. He was really good in the pilot. He was the standout. Like, wow, Eddie Murphy looks good. So I am now in for him as Beverly Hills.
Yeah, he said that show, the script and production was awful. Shouldn't have even.
Yeah, been he was a the
thing.
Best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you doing?
God, I can't wait.
Hold on. Keep going.
What's your favorite part? Is that a problem, officer? All right, listen up. I don't like white people.
Yeah, I think we're ready for Eddie's return.
So ready, you guys.
I'm in.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. I can't even stand how excited I am. For more Eddie Murphy in my
life. I can't believe Kevin had the Beverly Hills Cop theme at his fingertips.
I'm going to say, make sure you say cop with a P. And
yes, of course.
Beer mug.
That was very impressive.
Yeah.
Very good. Remember, it's like animal scrub.
Bronson Pinchot?
Oh. Yes! Yeah. It just, I mean,
it's a banana in the
so
tailpipe.
Hard.
Yeah. Oh no, it's like animal. And he touches his shirt where the hair was and goes, scrub.
Bronson Pinchot deserved more.
I agree.
He really did.
That is not sexy. That is edible.
That is not sexy as animal.
That and Perfect
Strangers.
I like
Bean does it better.
Do it, Bean. Do it again.
I cannot.
Do it one more time.
Do it as it's not sexy. That is edible.
It's like edible.
Yeah, that is edible.
It is edible.
All right, so we're all pumped.
Yep.
We all agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're in.
Excellent stuff. I don't know how you feel about Michael Stipe. I personally love him so very much.
He's a party in a person. I know that.
He's not the most exciting gentleman, but I've loved REM forever. But Michael Stipe is going to release his first solo single since REM's 2011 split.
I am stunned it took him this long to make new music.
Yeah. This weekend it's coming out. The song, which he's been playing at concerts in recent months, is called Your Capricious Soul. It's going to be released on his website, michaelstipe.com. There's a 77-cent download price to benefit the climate change awareness group Extinction Rebellion. And then it'll be available for free download further on down the line. But Michael Stipe told an Italian newspaper earlier this year that he has a whole album's worth of material. He said 18 songs are already ready. So for 5 years, he had a clean break from music, but he said, now I'm writing, composing, and recording all by myself for the first time.
Well, I didn't even know he was doing concerts. That's interesting that you mentioned that he's been performing that. I didn't even know he was doing that much.
Oh, yeah. You need the Michael Stipe app.
Okay.
There's an app.
It just alerts you to all things Michael Stipe. Some birthdays, you guys. We've got Sean William Scott, Lena Headey, Tessa Thompson, and what's your history with Tommy Lee, Kevin?
I mean, there was the one time when Tommy Lee invited us over to his house, Dave and I, the King of Mexico, and to his house to do an interview.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, Pamela Anderson, who he was married to at the time, is going to be home. Mm-hmm. So Dave and I were like, all right, go on. And he said, but they're going to be doing like a PETA dinner, like huge event.
Like
so,
a soiree.
Yeah. So you're going to have to, you know, really dress up.
Yeah.
Sort of a suit, maybe without a tie, but put on a suit.
Yeah.
Because you're going to look, you know, you'll stand out and I don't want to ruin her event.
Right.
So both of us dressed up, drove to Tommy Lee's house, and it was Tommy and his friend in the garage. No Pamela Anderson, no party, no anything. Oh. Dave and I are all dressed up in suits.
I respect it.
And he just looks out at us and just starts laughing so hard.
That's great.
That's amazing. I like it very much. Also, happy birthday to Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Gwen Stefani.
I'm going to quote Gwen Stefani right now and just say that this is bananas.
The very talented actor, comedian, and dead sexy human, our friend Rob Corddry, in studio with us in about 50 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though, Thursday about this time, I think you know who we're about to talk to in Las Vegas Live. Hit it, Steve.
RJ, you suck at betting. Oh. You're a loser, baby. You lost me money. Screw you.
Is that the right one? Or
wow.
I don't think that's the theme we usually go with.
'Cause he's RJ. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ is the founder of pregame.com. He's also the host of the daily radio show Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell on Fox Sports Radio from 3 till 4. RJ, you broke some hearts last week among the Kevin Bean family, my friend.
RJ stepped away from the mic.
Can you speak for RJ?
No comment.
What was going on with RJ's 0-3 week last week?
I got to be honest. I wonder if you guys feel the obligation that you should right now.
The obligation?
Yes, because you could teach the Los Angeles area. And let's be honest, you have hundreds of listeners at minimum. You could teach those people it's not about every individual game. Let's look at the long term. For example, we could say this season, how's RJ doing? 67%? No way. Yes. How many years has he won in a row? One, yes, two, yes, three, four, five. Five. But no, we're going to focus on last week.
Well, last week wasn't fantastic.
Yeah, the opposite, exactly.
Yes.
Do we have a call we need to take real quick here, Kevin, before we get into this week's picks? Is that
available? It's Friday. Just got my paycheck with a nice little bonus. Listening to Thursday's podcast where RJ Bell brags about how much money he makes people. So sure, why not? I'll give it a shot. So now it's Sunday. Watching the Redskins game. Remembering how RJ talked about how the Redskins sucked. And how great the Giants did with Daniel Jones. Yet he still wanted me to go plus 30 Redskins. I thought, no, RJ Bell makes people money. And now I'm out $50. But I got another two games, right?
Called back.
So, it just turned to Miami game. I mean, RJ has to be right on this one. No way a team would continue to be Oh, it's now 30 to 10? Oh, they're still That's surprising. Well, there's $100 now. least I got the Houston game, though, right?
Okay, all right. Call back.
So I just turned the Houston game. Remember how RJ talked about how Carolina's backup QB did so good last week? So let's him this week. God damn it, RJ.
Okay, hold on.
All right, go ahead.
I've got two comments.
All right, go ahead.
One, how does that phone line sound like a mic in studio?
How dare you say we're a listener?
Number two, it's about time Gary Delabate gets that return email. That's all.
Oh, I see how it is. Wow.
Well, listen, RJ, you have had a great track record over the years, and that's why
yes.
I feel terrible about having to let you go.
You know what's funny? This is the most creative you've been in months. I mean,
you're not wrong. Thank you for inspiring us.
Who says we give RJ another chance?
Okay, I'm
who says he's still, even with 0-3 last week, he's 8-4 on the season.
Oh, yes, well, don't let that get in the way of
which
the
is
fun.
Great. Mm-hmm. I understand, yes. Let's talk about RJ's picks for week 5 of the NFL. We'll start with the big dog game. This is a great rivalry in the NFL. Goes back a long time. Your beloved Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Baltimore Ravens.
You sure we have time?
We do.
All right, I'll keep it succinct. We're going with Pittsburgh here, and here's the rationale. The line's 3.5. We're plus 3.5 in this game. If you go back in the history of this series, the line has never been this high for Pittsburgh at home. So it's a historically big line, and about half of the games between these teams end up within 3 points. We love getting 3.5. And last thing, the Steelers made a heck of a comment about how optimistic they were after losing Big Ben by trading their number one pick away for next season. I think we got to take them, you know, seriously when they're optimistic. So Pittsburgh plus 3.5 at home against the Ravens.
All right. And the Ravens are still weeping over losing badly to Cleveland, right?
Yeah, and the defense just is, listen, Lamar Jackson there's skeptics out there with him. He's a running quarterback. He may make it, he may not, but the defense has given up for Baltimore 500 yards in both of the last two games.
All right, your best bet is the Chicago Bears versus the Oakland Raiders. This game's in the UK.
Yeah, this is one of the London games. And here's what we've learned from Jacksonville that plays these games every year in London, and from Belichick especially, who is the genius in the NFL. How did he do this? He flew over Saturday night, a red eye, for a Sunday game. He figures, let him sleep on the plane. They get there, bust him to the game, and we just fly back. You know what the Raiders are doing? They're spending the whole week sightseeing, eating the heavy foods over in London. I think it's a big disadvantage. Bears actually have a backup quarterback, Chase Daniel, but others think he's better than Trubisky. The market's downgrading him a little bit, so we're going to stick with the Bears laying 5.5 in London against the Raiders.
And the backup trend this season has been there. So.
Oh, yes. If you look at the major backups, 11-0 against the spread.
Yeah.
Wow, should have picked some of those games last week. And the big game of the week with RJ Bell in Las Vegas is the San Francisco 49ers hosting the suddenly feeling good Cleveland Browns.
You do realize that your audience lost money and you're laughing at them. I'm fine. You're laughing at them. All right, last game. We're going
it's not his money.
We're going with the 49ers. And the Browns look good, but I think it had to do with two things. One, the Ravens are overrated. Two, they changed up their personnel set. So let's not get too complicated, but they went much heavier and ran the ball much more. So if you pull a surprise, you're going to have a good game probably. But how many surprises do you have? They probably don't have any other ones. And then if you look at the 49ers off a bye, they've had some bad seasons. You guys know that.
Sure.
They're undefeated on Monday Night Football. And this line's only 3.5. Home field's worth 3. 49ers are a much better team. 49ers minus 3.5.
Yeah, we wouldn't have expected, nobody would have expected at the beginning of the season the 49ers would be the team that would be 4-0 at this point. That's for sure. All right, Steelers plus 3.5 hosting Baltimore. Chicago Bears minus 5.5 versus Oakland. And the 49ers minus 3.5 hosting the Cleveland Browns. Just before you go, real quick, a sentence or two on the Dodgers. Now, do the casual bettors in Las Vegas go, well, here's a team that's been in the World Series 2 times in a row and blown it? Or do they go, they're due, this time they're going to win it all?
In most sports, how good you are in the regular season really dictates how you do in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Think of Golden State Warriors in basketball. They usually win it when they have a good season. In baseball, once you're in, it's a crapshoot. So my advice would be don't go for the favorites, and the Dodgers are amongst the favorites. Go for the underdogs. History says those favorites don't win as much as they need to make money.
RJ is the founder of pregame.com, the official exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. He hosts Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell, Fox Sports Radio 3 to 4, and RJ Bell's Dream Preview as well, with NFL and college football games available on iTunes. All right, let's go for a 3-0 week. We'll see you again next time. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Hey, Rob Corddry, would you say on the street you are most often stopped because of your appearance as man at party in The Nanny, or more likely doorman in a show called Catalina Trust?
Catalina Trust was not a show.
Neither of those things ever. Wait, doorman, did you say?
You were the doorman. That's a real thing. In Catalina Trust. What was Catalina Trust, Rob?
It was a guy I knew from college who said, do you want to play the doorman in my movie Catalina Trust?
All right. You don't remember, do you?
Yeah. And I was like, and I played the doorman, and I had a line. I was like, hey, get out of here.
That's nice. Right.
And I was a tough guy. And then I was like, after that, I was like, I made it.
Because I see you.
And now
I
you're think... a tough guy in every role.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, sorry, I think bouncer.
Yeah,
for sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
Isn't it, forgive me for not knowing this, but I'm not an actor. Is it the second acting role where you get your union membership? Like,
no.
The Nanny was your entry?
Didn't we talk about this the last time? The Nanny?
No.
I think you guys, we finally debunked it here, and it's now not on my IMDb page anymore.
Oh, you weren't at The Nanny?
I think
you're
thanks
right.
Thanks to the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh.
We got to the bottom of that.
I did not remember
let's
that.
Let's reverse that now.
Yeah.
And let's say and that he was on The Nanny. Get it back
right.
on.
Yes.
We loved you on The Nanny.
I loved my experience on The Nanny.
Fran Drescher, good
as
woman.
Man at party.
Yeah.
Man at party.
It's weird
best.
It's not on your IMDb.
And my line, I had one line, it was, get out of here.
Well, now it seems like everybody is in the Rob Corddry business because, of course, you're still on Ballers. Final season, final few episodes happening right now on HBO. You've just debuted last week a brand new show that we'll talk all about on CBS called The Unicorn. And you got a new Netflix show coming out next year as well. So three shows at once.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm busy.
It really does.
Are you not?
Yeah. Luckily, you just do that stuff at different times. So, you know, it's just fine.
So, but, like this week.
You
Were
know,
you busy this week?
Not doing three shows today.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good. That's
all right,
good.
So there's a new show called The Unicorn that came on last week. It's on Thursdays, 8:30 on CBS. And I'm going to play a little clip just so you sort of understand what you're getting from Rob Corddry and The Unicorn.
You don't want to
do you mind
blind.
If I shove my hands down your pants?
No. Do what you got to do.
That's what you're going to get.
Yeah,
that's very representative of the show, I think.
It's
like
a perfect representation of what you're going to get. Me shoving my hands down Walton Goggins' pants.
Wow, wouldn't we all? Rob, this is big time. When you get on a CBS sitcom, this is a 10,000-square-foot house in Malibu job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to buy a flying house, I think.
Sure. I mean, CBS sitcoms last forever. They have a very good track record of success on
Jesus,
that.
Jesus, Bean, what are you doing?
No,
you
I'm
doing?
Telling you, the
this is a guaranteed 10-season run.
By the way, I can mention 100 shows from CBS that didn't do that, including How I Met Your Father, which seemed to be like a perfect home run, considering it came right after Mother.
Rob, you're never going to hit traffic again.
Unbelievable.
Exactly what he said.
It will never rain on you again, Rob.
But in the defense of what Bean is saying, you guys had a very good first week, which is rare in television right now as far as a
for
debut
new,
new show.
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
happen.
Yeah.
So it has to be celebratory times.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody was, they were really happy. And I was actually, I never care about that stuff because it's kind of, these days, with all the channels and everything, it's kind of meaningless.
Yeah.
But I found myself, it was like 1975 again, checking the shares. And
the
telegram
live come
views. In? Hey, what do we get for the plus threes? Don't even know what that is.
But it's got to be good. It's got to be good.
Tell me about working with Walton Goggins, because he's an amazing actor.
Oh, man. He's the best. He's, you know, that guy... This could be just kind of a run-of-the-mill, you know, single-cam sitcom with, you know, some feels and some laughs. But he, because of what he is as an actor, like, he's done this on his terms.
Yeah.
He said, I will do this show to CBS, but we're doing it the way I want to do it, and that means real. We're going to make this real.
Which, like, I just want to say, great. I was a little bit surprised by because I was expecting just a sitcom, and it's
a little different, right?
It's better than that. Yeah.
It's hard to explain. Yeah, it's hard to describe.
But he plays it so well.
Yeah, he's so sympathetic, and you know, what I love is just that you're so used to him being a villain, mm-hmm. you know, heavy and just kind of a psycho, that he's so likable in this. Like he's like himself in real life. He's just all leads with his heart. He's a very earnest dude.
Explain his character and why it's called The Unicorn.
Yeah, well, it's about, we catch up with this fellow, Wade Felton, a year after his wife dies of a long illness. And
oh, so it's a comedy.
That's right. Hey,
it actually is.
It really is. he's, with the help of his friends, of which I am one, try to now finally, like, start the second chapter of his life. And that means dating, that means a lot of different things, it turns out. Like, everything is different in your life after a tragedy like that. And it's, you know, there are feels in it, but it's not, we don't lay there too long, and it's fine.
He's a unicorn because he's the perfect man on paper. He is able to commit. He's got a great job. He's gainfully employed.
Yes.
He's attractive.
Yep.
That person doesn't usually.
That's right.
So they call
it the unicorn.
And he's not a man whore either, by the way.
No, he's actually very chaste.
He's so respectful, too.
Very
chaste.
I did bring in another clip, and this is you and one of his other friends. And it's important to say that this is a black actor that's playing this role because
Ballers.
Because of the clip.
You brought him over from Ballers
We brought each other over.
Because of the clip, because we've had this conversation with Bean 1,000 times.
I know what the clip is.
Tracy Wilbers is stupid hot.
I know. And she wanted him.
Wade had no clue.
Yeah, our boys' game is hella whack.
Don't say that.
Don't say what?
Just doesn't come out right.
Oh, so you can say
no,
it, but
no,
I can't.
No. Plenty of white dudes can pull it off. Just not you.
By the way, you were right. Tracy Watkins is hella hot. Right?
Yes.
The unicorn needs to move on that.
Yeah.
How is it? Did you guys really coordinate to come over? You just show up at the boat? I'm just trying to figure out how you both came over from the same show. Was it a surprise to run into each other in the audition room?
No, we didn't.
They were a package deal.
Yeah, that's right. I have no idea. I have no satisfying answer to that question.
Huh.
We just were at the table read together, and
very
I was like,
weird.
Dude. And I was excited because in 5 years of doing Ballers, I had only done one scene with
that
guy.
I was trying to remember if you'd ever been in a scene together.
And we improvised it because we like each other so much.
Oh, that's awesome.
We really, we always got along when we were there together, but we never had a scene.
That's so cool.
That is crazy.
Well, it's a terrific cast, you guys, and I know we don't ordinarily direct you to CBS shows, but this is one I think the Kevin Bean audience is going to like. It's true, though, because usually it's like Blue Bloods or something, you know?
No, it's strange. They're just a different, they're trying to rebrand themselves, it seems to me.
I mean, if you like Mom, for instance, which is, in my mind, kind of a similar territory in terms of being the feels and also the funny and also great acting, I mean, that's a compliment, I think, to your show, because we love Mom as well. You should definitely check it out. The Unicorn airs at 8:30 tonight on CBS Channel 2. Quick break. More with our friend Rob Corddry when we return on K-Rock. Our friend Rob Corddry back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, where he should be. I think that was very mean what you just did to Rob.
You're such a dick, Bean.
No, I'm serious. The baby picture, and your kid has so much hair.
Yeah. You are so rotten. I knew it was coming.
There was a lot of hair.
My baby was born looking like Marv Albert immediately.
That's not why you showed it to me, is it?
No. I would never have done that.
I think Bean knows Jensen did that.
You know what? Let me text Danielle. I'm going to have her shave him right now. Just as a solidarity.
Well, the hair will be back by the end of the
show. Shave the baby.
You're right.
That's the hashtag for today's show.
Shave the baby.
I hope Danielle heard that. I hope she's shaving him right now.
So, Rob, you finished filming All of Your Ballers. That experience has been phenomenal, I would imagine, right? What a great role.
Great gig. Yeah, I have no complaints about that whatsoever.
Will you and The Rock stay in touch?
We actually, I follow his Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and,
everyone does.
Correctly.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, that's not really qualifying to stay in touch.
So I'm in the know, guys.
Yeah, right.
Clearly.
You're tight.
I don't know if you remember this, but he had a picture of his hand, his massive hand, with a tiny lizard on the tip of his finger.
Oh, yes.
Saw that? And so you know, like, there were a bunch of responses like, oh, it's so cute, you're so gentle. And I just wrote, your hands are gross. Because they were like, calloused and dry.
Yeah, workout.
And cracked. By the way, the next day I checked in on it, 2,500 plus responses going like, well, what has you ever done? That is called hard work and weight liftings.
Snowflake.
Yeah. So a lot of snowflake.
Oh, bodybuilders mad at you.
And so then I would.
Want the bodybuilders going against
it. I kept going after it. Like, guys, you really opened my eyes here. I apologize. And he called me crying, Dwayne. And we're working on our friendship. And they were like, and half of them now are like, don't be bad to Rock. Like, right. You know. And then the other half was like, he's a comedian, dude.
They're on a show together.
On a show with him.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, and then he wrote me after that. He was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen after.
Will he be bringing you out at SmackDown tomorrow night?
The SmackDown Rock. Is tomorrow SmackDown. Night.
He's appearing
here
it's
in
a
LA.
Big, it's a
yeah,
big
he's
deal.
Appearing.
Well, I guess he's not then. Because
I'm sorry.
This is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Yeah, no. The big 20th anniversary, WWE SmackDown, a huge event tomorrow.
Maybe
night.
We do have to work on our friendship.
So. You might want to put your hands are gross on
you
a new
didn't
one.
Know that.
Yeah, yeah. Just a new post.
Yeah, without hands in the post
yeah,
whatsoever.
Get conversation
just,
going again.
Yes, remember, hands gross.
It's just a picture of his new kid.
Meaning the kid's hands are gross.
Rob, with all of your many, many shows, have you had much time off to do anything fun since we last saw you?
Oh, yeah, man.
Really?
Vacation? My wife and I, like, my kids go away for to camp now, and they go away for 3.5 weeks.
Ooh, they don't want to, but you send them. It's important.
I don't care if they want to go, man. Turns out they're lucky enough they do seem to want to go. But we drop them off, and then we just go, and we spend, like, I now am a firm believer that you got to take a vacation so long that you start hating it and want to get back to work.
It's a strange, okay?
It's just
strange
smart, thing. Though. Mm-hmm. Smart at the
it
end.
Start hating it.
It turns you, yeah. Mm-hmm. It does the process you need.
You miss your house. You miss your life.
Yeah. You miss, mm-hmm. like, yeah. And then you're charged up for work.
No kids mentioned there.
Then you start, yeah.
As far as being missing.
But see what? Well, 3.5 weeks without the kids, and then we went picked them up, and then we went out to the woods of Wyoming and ooh. Rode horses for 5 days with them and camped. And
How are you as a horse rider?
You know what? I'm getting better. I'm better than
I'd
I was
like
last
to see
year.
Video of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, are you just
that's like, actually his kink.
I just feel like this.
Are you?
I don't look as at home on the horse as my 10-year-old daughter does.
Right. Right.
But I feel I sometimes I feel it.
You
I'm
do.
Like, oh God.
You wear a cowboy,
I'm a cowboy
hat?
Now. Yeah, oh yeah. I wear
really?
A cowboy hat. I wear the boots.
Ooh, we're gonna at least need a picture of that.
Wranglers on.
Yeah.
The whole nine.
You I went mean, wow. Wranglers.
Are you just slowly going on a horse? Or are you guys doing like a real trail and
I
running?
I get on the horse pretty fast. I just jump right on it.
I mean,
what are you talking about?
I mean, do you, is it like, are you running? Like, is it trotting?
Oh, yeah, we trot. And then sometimes we canter? What is
yes.
cantering?
Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
like a
faster.
Sure. Sweet.
Never a gallop. We never got okay. to galloping because, you know, they're not
on
idiots.
Purpose.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Rob, I don't know if you keep up with Kanye West, but he has become a huge...
Ask me anything.
He has become a huge landowner in Wyoming. He's buying like 1,000 acres or something like that. Can you see yourself with a little place in Wyoming and you can kind of
yes.
live out your cowboy lifestyle?
Well, very much. We actually wanted to buy a place up there last year and then my wife talked me out of it.
Are you going to turn into a rancher? Is that
am
be
I
you?
Not already a rancher to you?
Do you like, not see the chap?
Drink me in, man. Feel my hands.
They're gross. They're disgusting.
I just love that Rob's at the point now where he's so famous he has to go to Wyoming just to get a minute's peace.
Oh, no. That's not true. That's not the reason I'm going to Wyoming.
It's because he's a rancher, B.
Constantly, consistently ignored on the streets okay. of Los Angeles.
I will tell you, I will say this one thing because I love Wyoming. I've been there on vacation. Mm-hmm. I've driven across country multiple times and I've gone through Wyoming. In my opinion, the best views of the nighttime stars of anywhere in the continental United States.
Oh,
just
my God.
Gorgeous, clear skies and stars as far as you can see. It's beautiful.
So we were camping, right? And I had to pee so bad. It's like 2-3 in the morning. I get out in my underwear. It's freezing. Freezing out there. And I'm peeing. And I just kind of casually just look up. And it's breathtaking. The stars were breathtaking. And I'm peeing, and then I finish peeing, and I'm like, ah, crap. I wish I had to pee more, because now I got no excuse to stay out here. And I'm
but looking at
like,
the stars is an excuse.
I'm convulsing with a cold. And like, finally I was like, all right, just you're going to do this for another 60 seconds. And I was counting down watching
getting
the stars. Oh, it was so gorgeous, like a blanket of stars. Wow.
I thought you guys were going to make fun of me for saying that about the stars. I'm glad you gave me some backup there, Rob.
Yeah. Now, they're giving you a hard time today,
it's
huh?
It's true.
Look, we weren't really talking about Wyoming as much as we were talking about Rob.
I'm just saying the stars.
I love Wyoming. Here's why.
I drove through it once and I saw the largest ball of twine.
That's in Minnesota.
That is in Minnesota. I knew that because I went with Dean. Tell us about Medical Police. When is that going to happen on Netflix?
Yeah, Medical Police is a spinoff of Children's Hospital.
Which we love so much.
Well, everyone loves so much.
Jensen here was an early champion of
I
that
love it.
Show.
It's one of my faves.
I will never can thank you enough for that.
It was the best.
It's
same cast?
Yes, same cast, but it really focuses on Aaron Hayes and Rob Hubel's characters. They are sort of deputized by the CDC to go fight this medical crime, and they get all wrapped up in it. And it's like where Children's was sort of a contained, smaller 15 second. Sometimes felt like that. Quick show, 15-minute world. This is a half-an-hour show that is global. Like, we went and we shot in Croatia.
No kidding.
Which doubled as, 8 different cities.
Sure.
Wait, you being serious?
Yeah. Absolutely serious. It's
I thought it was, a whole Brazil thing.
No, we went to Brazil.
You went to Brazil.
That's the joke. They flew to Brazil for that shot. Yeah. That's the joke of the show.
Yeah.
So, for people who don't know.
I always thought that was.
No. For people who don't know, because you have to know this happened in television history.
Tell her.
Children's Hospital had a scene where they had to have characters in Brazil, and it was hyped up for a lot of the episode.
Yeah.
You assumed that for 13 seconds when you saw Brazil, you
totally
assumed
fake.
It was a fake thing or
yes.
a green screen.
There's
or,
because no they way. Did nothing else in Brazil
they
except
flew
for that
to Brazil for the shot and then flew back.
No. By
the
way,
you know what that is? That's just let's waste some money,
yes.
guys.
Yes, it is.
Well,
exactly
we,
that.
No, we put this money away so no one would touch it. And then by the time we had finished editing by that point, and we were about to go, and we were like, we don't need this scene at all for the story.
It's almost pointless.
Yeah, it's actually, we're going to have to cut 13 seconds out for someone else to
put it in. It is commitment to excellence, you guys. That's what it is. Yeah.
It's a groundbreaking move just to say we're doing it.
It's amazing. That nobody understands.
Will you come back in January when Medical Police
Please.
Comes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because we'd like to talk about that.
Let me hit the stuff real quick here. Okay. Ballers air Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. Only 3 episodes left, but you can watch the whole thing on demand, and you should because it's great. The Unicorn is one of the cool, funny new shows of the new fall season, and that airs tonight at CBS Channel 2, 8:30. Allie, you ready for 60 Seconds
with? I am.
Rob Corddry is our guest. Allie's going to fire it at you. Just first thing that comes to your mind, here's 60 Seconds with Rob Corddry.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Nope.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest a-hole?
The hairless cat.
Creepiest thing you could say to a stranger as you pass them on the street.
Nice bulge.
If you could be any animal, what kind would you be?
I'd be probably a bald eagle, I guess.
Okay. If you could know when you will die, would you want to?
Yep. Unfortunately, yes.
Twizzlers or red vines?
Twizzlers.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
Cords Cakes.
Nope.
Cords Cakes.
That's not a nickname.
Nope. Cords Cakes.
No, we're rejecting
wait,
that.
Wait, what do you have?
I know. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
If you could join the cast of any TV show, past or present, which would you choose?
Happy Days.
Dream dinner date.
The Fonz. Oh.
In keeping with the theme.
Rob Corddry loves Happy Days. Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to point out that he said Twizzlers because I love it.
Yes. Yes.
I
know. We like
I know. I don't know if we can still be friends, but we'll try.
Yeah. I know. East Coast is, I think, Twizzlers. Land.
Is that true?
Coast,
also, you're garbage. So. You're garbage. Too.
And also, I'm human garbage. I don't appreciate the finer things, too. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in. We always appreciate it.
I love you guys so much. Thanks for having me.
Who do you love more than Rob Corddry?
No one.
I got a long list.
It's not a serious
not
question.
Me.
Okay. Yeah. Just, no, Rob's a good guy.
I love Rob.
He's still listening.
Having him here.
No, Rob's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him.
Okay. So you're giving a 6.5
to
7?
Seven. Yeah. I give him 7.
I'm a 9.
I would say I'm definitely a 9 too. Higher. Yeah.
If he had hair, 10.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Understood. Well, he was crying when he left her after seeing Jensen's baby. I'll tell you that. That was a hard blow for him.
I didn't think
man.
About it, to be honest.
Honestly, being, as soon as he showed him the picture, I thought, oh, that's got to hurt. And then
hurt.
You said it, and I was like, you dick.
Well, I'm not the dick. Jensen's the dick. We showed a three-month-old who's got better hair than a grown man.
He had better hair when birth. He first came out.
He was basically Teen Wolf at birth, yeah.
Hey, we got tickets for you next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show to Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights. Boy, that's a lot of H's.
Yeah, tongue twister.
That's a lot of H's. And don't forget, our friend Megan Holliday will be broadcasting live from the park tomorrow night from 7 p. to 11 p. So stick around for that. Allie, what's happening here on this Thursday morning?
Well, Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan has announced a solo U.S. tour. Kicking off this November with three shows here in L.A. on the 4th, 5th, and 6th. At the Lodge Room. Tickets go on sale Friday, and he's promising to play songs from all of his work. So, from Smashing Pumpkins to solo work and more.
Oh, I hope he does a bunch of the songs from the Zwan album.
Zwan. That's actually listed here, so yeah, I think he will.
This next part's very important. I do not care.
Okay, all right, so
I'd rather sit in my bed, like just staring at a wall.
I'm putting Bean down as a maybe. Okay. Kevin, I read this story and I thought, are we sure Kevin didn't have any boys? Because this guy...
Why?
He's you.
This can't be good now.
But a 19-year-old, a UK concertgoer, is still looking for his car a week after forgetting where he parked it.
I do love that, and it is very me.
Connor Spear drove 2 hours to attend the Tokyo World Music Festival in Bristol, and he had to park on a public street, which was about a 10-minute taxi ride to the concert. So he parks, then takes a 10-minute taxi ride. After the show, Spear and his friends couldn't remember exactly where they'd left the car.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'm devastated and annoyed." Oh, this was his mother. Sorry. "I'm devastated and annoyed that he's so irresponsible. You know what youngsters are like? He's parked there without thinking, oh, maybe I'll take a photo at the street. After hitching a ride home and walking to work all week, Spear and his mother spent the whole next weekend driving around and looking for the black hatchback. They said there's been no report of it being towed, because that would be the first thing you'd think.
Sure.
Okay, it was towed. Let's check.
Call different yards or whatever.
Yards, yeah. Several sightings reported to him on social media haven't panned out. People are just effing with him. Like, no, dude, your car's right here on this street. Then they go and it's not there. He's now offering a £100 reward for information that leads to his car's return. It's not his car's return. It's your return to the car.
Yeah.
Connor Spear.
Kevin, you really think this isn't something that could happen to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But not for a week. No. I'm saying no, not for a week.
Okay.
Guys, I think it happened to me.
For how long?
I think it happened to me for a day. For a day, I had to give up on looking for my car that day and get a cab or something somewhere and then have a friend do exactly what Allie described, which is drive me around the streets of where I thought I parked to try to find my car.
And you found it in that run?
Found it, yeah. Okay. Yes, it was in Annapolis, Maryland. I can't remember where I was going to, but I had to park some distance from it and just made no note whatsoever as to where I parked like an idiot and just couldn't find my way back. And I spent hours looking for it.
This guy's more like Bean than me.
Wow.
And just a day
that
went back the next day and found the car. I was so grateful, so relieved. Like you said, that it hadn't been towed or stolen. Certainly.
Yeah. See, I'm the person that even in a parking structure, I take a picture of whatever the floor is that I'm on and like what row, that type of thing. So
yeah, I don't do that because I usually can remember something for a couple of hours. You know what I mean? But if I go to the airport, then I always take if I drive, I always take a picture of the space at the airport because that could be, a week away.
Yeah.
How long do you look for your car? I mean, I know you can't just give up and, like, say, my car's gone forever. But, I mean, like, before you make that move to, like, have a friend pick you up. Like, I feel like
that first time. I think it was, like, 3 hours I probably walked around looking for my car. Because I knew it was within 10-minute walk of where the event was that I went to. And I thought, well, it has to be somewhere. And I just kept going down every street I could and could not find it.
That is bonkers.
So, I mean, you don't have much choice at some point but to give up, I guess.
I guess, yeah. I mean, 3 hours is long.
A long time to try, yeah.
I mean, I haven't done that, so...
I apologize for leading this story in your direction. It's something that I would do.
Yeah, but you haven't.
Haven't yet.
Yes. And someone else on the show has.
I hope to, but I haven't yet.
Yeah.
You hope to.
Yeah.
I bet you could make that a reality if you really put your mind to it. Excellent stuff. All right, some birthdays for you guys. Sean William Scott, Lena Headey, Tessa Thompson, Tommy Lee.
If you mess with the bull, get back on that horse.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tommy. And Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Gwen Stefani.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
I think she's getting better.
I do too.
She's better with age.
Beat. Real good.
So good.
We are about to tell you why Bean is a bad man.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm alone on this.
Because he doesn't love what he should love.
I hate with a passion car chases.
Yeah, but the one last night had everything.
Nope. There's no exceptions.
Did you watch it?
No.
It was great, though.
If you watched it, you're a moron.
But it was great.
Car chases are the bane of the world's existence. They're the biggest problem facing the world today.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Totally. That makes sense.
Biggest problem. I'm still mad at Greta for getting on the stupid climate change and not tackling climate or car chases, because that's where the attention needs to be. There's such... Allie, you worked in TV for years, and I know you say, well, people watch. That's why we put
them on. No, they don't watch. They now run to their television.
Yeah,
as soon as they see on social media that there's a car chase, the numbers spike.
Okay. But thousands of hardworking, talented people have put a great deal of effort into creating programming that's supposed to air at that time on those stations that gets bumped so that we can watch a helicopter view of a guy driving down a freeway.
That's your argument?
That's one of my many arguments. People mad that we weren't showing on KTLA like Jerry Springer.
Yes,
like,
whatever it is.
On Jerry Springer, and we're like, you deserve this.
Actual content
I
is being bumped.
You were going to do like a Bleed at Leeds kind of thing. Like, this isn't the thing we should be promoting. It makes other people want to do it. You're just mad that you can't see a rerun of like MASH. Yeah.
No, by the way, all of those are also legitimate arguments. But what I'm mad about is when it takes up the entire news block, when the 5 o'clock
I'm
and
gonna
the 6
say
o'clock
the 5
news
o'clock and 6 o'clock. News block, for the most part, is a waste of your time.
That's why we do great news.
It's stuff that you want to know about, though, that's not being covered.
They're going to repeat it in an hour anyway.
I'm telling you guys, it's a big fat waste of time. Kevin's argument will be, and I can, we've had this conversation so many times that I can do Kevin's part too, which is it's live and you never know what's going to happen, and that's what's exciting about it. And last night, I have to give it to Kevin, it had some twists and turns.
It did have pretty much everything.
It did have a lot of things going on. So let's pick up the coverage. I think Rachel Kim is the reporter for Channel 2.
Oh, he's just going to get that thing stuck, dude.
By the way, you never want to hear those words. But who enjoys?
That is what she said.
That was Stu Mandel.
I thought that was Beer Mug from home.
No, it was Stu Mandel. He was having the time of his life last night.
He's covered a lot of kind of boring routine car chases,
but this one certainly was not. But again, here's his quote.
Oh, he's just going to get that thing stuck, dude.
I mean, really, it just writes itself, right?
Pulitzer.
The pursuit started near Lancaster. L.A. County Sheriff's Department wanted to stop the driver who was wanted for assault on a deputy. He had a woman in the car with him, and at times, they left the road and were hightailing it through the dirt and bouncing past the desert scrub.
Okay, is that the first time, Kevin, in all the years that you've been following, that you've ever seen a car leave the road and just drive through open desert?
Yeah, and I don't understand it, because it seems like, as a driver, if you're running from the police, there's nowhere to hide in the desert. There's no other cars. There's no traffic. There's no anything to help you. You're in the middle of nowhere.
There's no garage. There's no tunnel.
Right.
You can't get out of the way.
Right. Way more chances at a flat tire.
Right.
Like, way more chances of just damage.
Spin out.
Spin out the whole thing.
Well, the guy wasn't making the best choices of his whole life last night.
Oh, they're going to carjack this guy. They're going to carjack him. Let's see what happens. They got a gun. He's got a gun, dude.
As soon as the driver got back on paved road, he spotted a pickup truck that belongs to Christopher Huth. We were the only ones to speak with him, and he told us he was on his way home when he saw the chase go past him.
By the way, Channel 2 is extremely proud of them being the only ones on this.
That's a weird thing to brag about.
Oh, yeah. They've already probably made promos.
They mentioned it 20 times in this report.
He decided to pull over and watch, thinking he could possibly help authorities.
Now, let me ask you guys about this.
what was he thinking that he could, how could he help by pulling over? He just wanted to get video of the car going yeah. by him, right?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know what you try to help.
I don't know what you could.
I mean, actually, it's actually bad to help. Like, get out of the way. Yeah, it's
dangerous.
Well,
he certainly didn't expect to be carjacked because he pulled over like a dumbass.
Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, Huth tells us the suspect made his way back onto the road where he carjacked him. Sky 2 was the only camera overhead when it happened.
Oh, they were the only guys covered. Wow,
good to hear.
So he races up, kind of blocks me where I was parked, yells out his window, "They're trying to kill me." And right as, I mean, those words just got out of his mouth, and he was out of the truck, or out of his car, with a pistol held sideways right in my face.
This is why you don't, this is why you don't stop, by the way.
Yeah.
This is why you don't make yourself a potential victim for somebody who's on the run from the cops. How do you not think of that? You get as
Being
far away
so
from that as you can, right?
Yeah, agreed.
He's
well, I'm disappointed with everybody in this story, the people that covered it and the people who watched it. Mm-hmm.
I pulled my car door open, and I just take the truck and got out.
The suspect and the woman then headed eastbound on Rosamond Boulevard. He then flew off the road and at high speeds hit a patch of dirt. A huge cloud of dust rose up, and when it cleared, we could see the truck wasn't going anywhere else.
By the way, are you watching at this point, Kevin?
Yes.
So he's in a, what is he, in a ditch or something?
Yeah, he hits dirt that's too deep, and the front of the truck goes into the dirt, and so the back is just spinning. And he can't go anywhere.
So he gets out and runs on foot until, yes. amazingly, he finds another car to steal.
The driver and his passenger got out on foot. CHP and deputies closed in within moments. The driver ditched his passenger and ran in a wide circle. Can't With officers and deputies chasing here. On foot, oh, the man doubled no. back to the wrecked truck. Oh, and then watch what no. happens next.
No, 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 no.
Again, only Sky 2 overhead.
By the way,
oh,
by the way, he's saying no, no. Like, you can hear the disappointment in his voice and everything. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I saw an Instagram post from Michelle Beadle. And she's like, he's getting in the car. He's getting in the police car. This is the best thing ever. and then Stu's going, no.
That's
no.
what he did. Is the police, by the way, they do have a way to disable their vehicles when they leave them so that you can't get in the car and steal them, sure. even if the keys are in it. But they did not do that in this case because they just jumped out to try to chase this dude. So he's already lost his car, then hijacked a truck. Carjacked, I guess, a truck, and now he's stealing a police car.
As the driver runs to the CHP cruiser, gets in, finds the keys, and takes off. He drives for another 20 minutes on paved roads until he runs out of asphalt. He goes off-road and almost crashes several times. And here's how it all ended. After an hour, the driver returned to the road but doesn't see a big ditch. The front end falls in, and the chase is over.
By the way, the desert was his foe, Kevin. You nailed it at the beginning. Like, stay on the road, dude.
Yeah.
Right?
He lost one car.
The driver jumps out and immediately surrenders. His female passenger had gotten away, but several hours later, she was found hiding in the desert.
How about that? Hours later, they
Well,
they found
when
her.
He wrecked the truck that he hijacked, whatever it was, she got out and she looked like she was hurt. And he was trying to run, and he just left her.
Yeah.
She was just like, I don't think I can run. She looked hurt.
Yeah.
And he just left her and started running away. But, man,
was it worth it?
Oh, it was so entertaining.
Was
the
it good?
Ending, I'm not going to lie, I was really let down at the ending.
That's what I was wondering.
I mean,
what is it that you wanted to happen? Though?
He hits that ditch.
Yeah.
He should have gotten out and started running.
He
instead,
tried.
No,
no, you're
he
right.
Ran
he ran
2 feet and then went right down on the ground and surrendered. Come on, I mean, dude. You made it this far.
Sack up.
Keep going.
But you want Blaze of Glory. You want him.
Something.
Right. You want him shot down. You want it ended with
Blaze. Are you just doing a Bon Jovi song?
Hi, it's Mama Muggs, and I'm here to remind you that tonight is game one of the National League Division Series, where the hometown Los Angeles Dodgers face the wild card champion Washington Nationals. Sure, root them on. You know I won't be watching after the third inning.
She should be a sportscaster.
Didn't seem like she's really rooting him on.
Muggs, how's your mom? How is your mom heading into game one tonight?
Like she does every other sporting event. I found out the other day it's not just baseball.
What?
She's a USC fan for some reason. I don't know why she didn't go there, but she was watching the game and they were down in the first quarter, like 2 touchdowns. She's like, "It's over. It's done." I'm like, "Mom, it's football. Anything can happen."
In 3 quarters, yeah, of course. Yeah.
You have a surprisingly positive attitude, considering
yeah.
your mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very negative.
Yeah, you were raised in the darkness, man.
Yes.
Well, 5:36, first pitch tonight, Los Angeles versus the Washington Nationals. So go Doyers. Mm-hmm. And we should mention, of course, the Rams are also playing tonight against the Seattle Seahawks. So you can just pick who you want to root for there. Allie, you ready for a final look at what's happening here on this Thursday?
How are you so broken already into the football season with your Seattle Seahawks?
Same way I am with my Arizona Cardinals.
I'm not broken. Look, the Seahawks are 3-1. I'm not broken by them, but they're not very good.
You sound kind of let down.
They're not very good.
Okay.
But they are 3-1, but they're not very good.
All right. 3-1's good.
It is, but
till they meet the Rams.
Until you watch the game.
Yeah, okay.
And
got
then
it.
You go, okay.
Got it. You guys know my feelings about pumpkin pie.
You do not enjoy a sweaty mess.
Yes. All things sweaty. I'm not eating it. Thank you, ma'am. I agree. It's just anytime you look at a pumpkin pie, it's got those sweat beads in the middle. It's
and
just,
you know
it's,
they're not sweat,
it's
right?
Sweat.
It's just it's just condensation on the top of the pie.
Well,
and it's delicious.
Guess
it's like
what?
it's like having olive oil in your pasta. Do you look at that and go it's sweaty, or do you look at that and go, oh, that contributes to the great taste of pasta?
Well, sweat is just condensation in my armpits then, if that's what we're saying. Come on.
Okay, you lost me there.
I don't think that's a great argument.
Yeah, he said it's just condensation
on
the pie.
Oh, she's doubling down.
So that's just
what it is.
Sweat is on your armpits.
No, but that's very different.
Is it?
Yes.
It's disgusting.
Okay.
Pumpkin pie is disgusting. And
all things sweaty. I'm not eating it.
I agree again, ma'am. pumpkin pie is disgusting. But
hey,
I ask
I'm a sweaty
of you,
pie.
How many slices of pumpkin pie do you think you could eat in a day?
In a day.
I mean, I could eat a whole pie.
I could probably eat a whole pie as well.
I would think so, too. I would think in a day, mm-hmm. I could probably eat 2 pies.
Okay. So what would you say? How many slices per pie? 8?
8, what, yeah.
So
eight.
16.
Probably 16,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. What if I told you that no matter what your answer was going to be, it was going to pale in comparison to the amount of pumpkin pie competitive eater Molly Schuler was able to consume? How many slices of pie do you think that this woman downed in 10 minutes?
Number one, this sounds like the hottest woman I've ever heard of.
In 10,
10
minutes.
And you're saying any number we said would pale in comparison.
And I was talking about a whole day.
In 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes. She ate 50 pieces of pumpkin pie.
She ate 50 slices of pumpkin pie in 10 minutes.
It.
She bested her own record from 2017 of 48 slices.
Can I tell you something?
You guys.
I just Googled a picture of her. She is eerily skinny.
Absolutely.
She's actually like kind of sickeningly skinny.
Yes. Like I always look at competitive eaters
and then I'm
always shocked when they aren't large. But
she's a twig.
She is a tiny, tiny woman.
Yummy.
I don't know if you heard me. 50 slices of pumpkin pie in 10 minutes.
That is astonishing.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Oh, my God. She needs to gain some weight.
I know. I told you. She's like
eat that every day for
a while.
She
looks like a skeleton.
It's insane. So she won this New York State contest and set a new record for the event.
Fantastic.
So she got $1,000 for winning the contest, then an additional $500 for beating her old record.
By the way, Allie, you didn't mention that she was the top prize winner of the 10th annual hands-free World Pumpkin Pie Eating Contest.
Ooh, that's sexy.
Yeah.
She also has a record for eating 360 ounces, which is 22.5 pounds of prime rib in around 45 minutes.
Yeah. Oh.
Did you say 22
gosh.
Pounds?
22 pounds of prime rib.
That's a calf.
In 45 minutes. And then at the end of it, screamed that she wanted more. This woman's a machine.
No, something's very wrong.
I would think so, too.
Dave.
Can you imagine the meat sweats?
She lives out here. Can we look into Molly Schuler, please?
Does she live out here?
Yes.
I think he just said that.
She does a lot of West Coast. I don't know. She does mostly California State Fairs. She's out here a lot.
I love her.
I mean, this is insane.
Do you guys know that she also won the Wing Bowl? She has the record there.
She lives in Maryland now, by the way.
Right, let's get
way
her
to go, Johnson.
501 wings.
I mean, they have phones there.
501 wings.
This list of things that she's eaten is crazy.
Yeah, Molly Schuler is...
She ate 37 corn dogs at the California State Fair in Sacramento.
Yeah, I'm getting the poops reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much beef did you say?
22.5 pounds in 45 minutes, and then at the end screamed, I want more.
In 45 minutes. Like, people couldn't do that in a week.
Agreed. It's a lot of beef.
That's a good point. Guys, let's close talking about this. Does she not have a catchy nickname, by the way? I feel like she ought to be called the something.
She doesn't have one.
She needs one.
I know.
She completed the Double Chubbies Avalanche Challenge at Chubbies Southern Barbecue in Emmitsburg, Maryland, just August 17th. So what, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Each Avalanche burger includes 8 half-pound hamburger patties, each with 2 slices of American cheese, 8 Louisiana hot link sausages, lettuce, and tomato. To complete the double challenge, she ate 2 Avalanche burgers, about 16 pounds of food in 29 minutes.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
16 pounds of food. By the way, thank God they put lettuce on it.
Can I do a couple quick hits there? Here? 93 dumplings in 2 minutes.
What?
A 32-inch pizza in 15 minutes.
I could do that.
Wow.
Wow.
She's a monster.
We got to talk to Molly Shiler.
We do.
And find out why she can't gain any weight.
Yeah.
So she beat Kobayashi then.
She could. I mean, she definitely physically looks less like a competitive eater than Kobayashi. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be talking to her soon.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's bonkers, you guys. Also bunkers.
I think Muggs could beat the record, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. That's what we should have her in for.
All my successes of eating cotton
Correct.
Challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But you still offer it up. Like, oh, we should have Muggs do that. No, he's awful at it. Every single time. Yeah. He's so bad at it.
Yeah, that's what's great.
I take my time when I eat.
Yes!
I eat a lot, but I just take my sweet time.
So yeah, you know that's not competitive eating then, right?
If you eat it over a course of weeks, it doesn't really count. Unbelievable.
She ate 5 pounds of bacon in 5 minutes.
Sweet.
Pounds!
5 pounds of bacon.
You guys.
Anyway, I have a new hero.
This is insane. You guys, Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
You know him. Amazing actor.
Used to be. Used to be.
Director Stanley Kubrick's 1980 horror film, The Shining. One of the props from that show, from that movie, was put on auction. The axe from The Shining. Sold at auction in London for $209,000. That is 4 times its original estimated selling price. Somebody now
That's
owns
crazy.
The axe from The Shining.
I bet the competitive eater could eat it.
I bet she could.
In a minute.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, if you guys have been saying to yourself, oh, I wish there was some sort of clothing that I could link to my love for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Well, now you can. In tribute to his beloved 90s sitcom, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, star Will Smith has created a limited edition collection of athleisure inspired by his West Philadelphia-born character. We're talking everything from clothing, a gym bag kit, which has a nylon bag, track jacket, t-shirt, socks, and basketball. That goes for $200. What about a Will Smith air freshener? Only $6. Tie-dye throwback t-shirts, hoodies, socks, shorts, hats, reversible track jacket featuring the funky paisley lining that looks just like the one from his character that he wore on the show.
Why so soon?
Why so soon?
I think the nostalgia for that show is huge and those lines will sell out. I think people would love to have
why
those.
Does Will Smith need the extra money from air fresheners?
Well, if somebody's going to make it, why not? Why not Will Smith?
West Philadelphia. Yeah. He's on the playground. That's where I spend most of my days. Just sit right there. I'll tell you how many crins of a town called Bel-Air.
Hey, yo, smell you later.
Right?
What?
That's the original, right? That was the original theme.
Mugs. Who was your partner in that?
That was a guy by the name of Masood. And okay. he was drunk.
No way.
Play it again. See if we can pick up on it.
West Philadelphia. Yeah. He's on the playground. That's where I spend most of my days.
That's my favorite part right there.
Oh.
Because he sings an entire part of a song with no words.
Oh, wow.
Smell you later. Smell you later.
That is something right there.
Well, we're revisiting The Fresh Prince. Mm-hmm. Kevin, do you have time for some C-SPAN?
Oh, please.
Always.
I love this so much.
I know this is your favorite.
Los Angeles, California, Republican line. Here is Jack. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jack Strickland. I just want to make it clear, first of all, I'm calling from Bel Air, California, but I am originally from Philadelphia, specifically West Philadelphia. But anyway, I was actually discussing this issue with a friend of mine recently while I was in Philly. It occurred on the basketball court. At some point during the conversation, a couple of guys who were up to no good essentially started causing trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight, and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air."
Again, for the first 45 minutes, around negotiations, how much influence?
That guy got three of the screeners and told the whole story.
It's pacing.
Amazing.
I love that.
Amazing.
His tone is pacing everything.
Oh, he did it so many times, too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different shows that he would call
to
do that.
Oh.
Hey, yo, smell you later.
That's just awesome.
It's just good, you guys. This is something that we need to absolutely burn this mother down if it happens.
Okay.
Apparently, Lori Loughlin is about to tell the story of her role in the college admission scandal that has snared her, her husband, Felicity Huffman, dozens of others. Because she's talking about a cash-grabbing book and movie.
So lame.
They have assured her that it will make millions.
She's so lame.
You guys.
Is she going to write it in prison?
Seriously.
You have made bad choices.
She's talking to a bunch of different agents right now, and yeah.
She is a criminal.
Yeah. Her and her husband are facing up to 40 years behind bars. Felicity Huffman pled guilty in exchange for a lighter sentence. But a source says that Lori is sticking with her story that she and her husband were scammed. She had claimed to friends that they always thought the money was going to a charity through the school. She says she doesn't feel for one minute that they were breaking the law. Isn't Lori Loughlin the one that had her daughter pose as a athlete and took pictures?
I think so.
I'm not
At
positive.
What point would you think, oh, I just thought the money was going to charity of the school? You're having your daughter pose as an athlete to
get... That's clearly fraud. Anyone would know, recognize it as fraud.
F you, Aunt Becky. Mm-hmm. Honestly. And if she gets this book deal, I think that whoever buys this book should be spayed or neutered.
Allie, I don't think that book will... I don't think a publisher will touch that book. I think they will announce that they will, and they'll make a deal, but I think the backlash will be so strong from the public that they will then drop
the
it before
OJ
it gets
written. If I did it.
That's right. That's right.
USC coach did create a fake crew profile for Lori Loughlin's daughter, and he's pled guilty, so you were right.
Unbelievable. I mean, just say I screwed up. I wanted my kid to get in because she's a dumbass, and she couldn't get in, and I screwed up.
No, I don't know you need to say bad things about your kid.
Her kids know that they're morons.
Yeah, okay.
They are morons.
She's a poopers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't one of them used to put on her social media about how much she didn't even want to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this just in, she was making a ton of money being an influencer. Guess what? Your daughter didn't need to go to school. She could have done that, had a fine little career for herself. She didn't need to go to school. It was also, you would look better, Lori Loughlin. And look at you now. I'm so mad at Aunt Becky.
She's a sociopath and a bitch.
Just saying.
This is Bob from Chattanooga.
Go ahead, Bob.
Why did you play that?
Who was that?
Why did you play that?
You're on the air, Bob. Go ahead.
Why did you play that? When we were listening to the French Prince guy, it just reminded me of Bob from Chattanooga. Remember he called it a talking dead or something.
I thought he was going to go on to do that again, to tell the story again.
Play it again.
This is Bob from Chattanooga.
And that's all you have?
That's it. That's all I have. I'm sorry.
Well placed.
Smell you later.
Guys, I'm running out of shows, and I want to play all of the audio that I have before
but
I go.
Try to make it make sense.
So I may just have to force some of it in. I'm sorry to say.
Hello.
All right. So first,
Chattanooga. Oh, wait. Hold on. I found some more.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call. This is Bob from Chattanooga. The hour is coming. All that are in the grave shall hear his voice.
There you go.
Wow.
He's the hour is coming guy. Okay.
The hour is coming. All right, there's Bob. How you like Bob now?
Worse.
Terrified.
Way worse.
I mean, that's the best call we've ever had. I'm so nervous now.
This is Bob from Chattanooga. And then nothing.
That was
We all just sat here.
That's a throwback, you guys.
Being so good at working stuff in when it makes sense that when he does that, I don't even know what to think.
But then it becomes good again.
Well, I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Like I said, I want to play all of the audio that I have right. one more time I before I go.
I don't think it's possible.
Sure.
I feel like we should try it.
Yeah.
I'm in. All right, happy birthday, Lena Headey, Sean William Scott, Tommy Lee.
When life throws you a curveball, lemonade.
Excellent point. Tessa Thompson, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and Gwen Stefani.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
I've said it for years, and that's what's happening.
You didn't mess up Zlatan's name once.
Thank you. Well,
nice.
he's like my best friend.
They're friends.
Yeah.
Best friend.
Yeah, we have like the best friend charm that you split in half.
Beef
and
fries?
Mine says beef fry and his says St. Ann's.
What was the last, when was the last time you hung out?
Oh. Last summer when I met him.
That one time.
So that one time.
Once.
Yeah. But he's my best friend, Kevin.
Right. On your drive home, our morning is all new Kevin and Bean Show. We've got Cheers with Mugs.
Oh.
We have a new fast food report.
Mm-hmm.
We have, it's hockey season, so we have Ryan Getzloff.
Fantastic.
The Ducks on the program. And